with The Door Open will not be seen and will return next week. Stay tuned as WSWN brings you the following live presentation of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
Podcast is intended for entertainment purposes only. Opinions expressed by the host and guest are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the podcast or its affiliates. Content may include adult language or themes and is not suitable for all audiences. Viewer and listener discretion is advised.
The following is a presentation of the Shining Wizards Network, broadcasting live in high-definition video and available on all podcasting and streaming platforms. Follow us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Check out our merchandise at merch.shiningwizards.com. Do your Amazon shopping at amazon.shiningwizards.com. And become a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/wizardspodcast. And now, it's time for the Shining Wizards.
Hey, Shining Wizards, I hear you got a podcast. No shit. I either knew it was a podcast or a circle jerk for virgins. In this case, I have a feeling I'm right about both. So your podcast is about wrestling. Nothing says manly like a bunch of dudes that blow off their wives to talk about sweaty dudes. Do a steel cage match that won't end until you knock the gay out of each other. Be a man.
Welcome to episode 797 of our weekly Circle Jerk of the Shining Wizards podcast. Tonight, we got some tourney talk as we talk King and Queen of the Ring. We got the Owen Cup, the TBS title tournament, maybe a speed tournament, perhaps the Best of Super Juniors. There's so many tourneys that we chased away Tony tonight. So smash that button as we get on the road to 800. As I almost make it through the entrance for some wrestling talk.
And talk about wrestling.
Brando.
A double T.
And some Kevin.
I was getting so excited, Brando. You were like there. Like you were like
almost there.
So close to the finish line.
The story of my life.
Oh, I don't want to hear that. How you guys doing? What's going on?
I'm great, man. Had a freaking awesome weekend.
Yeah,
yeah.
What made it so awesome, Bruno Fly? That's what I want to know.
A lot of blood, a lot of gore, and a lot of good times in Atlantic City.
Oh, you fucking freak! You know, you could have said something like, you know, I had a nice afternoon with my wife. We went on a picnic. You didn't do that though, did you? You said no. I went and saw a bunch of guys jerk off in blood. That's what you said.
Goddamn right, and you know you're jealous.
No, I am not. No, I am not.
When you say jerk off in blood, do you mean like jerk off into the blood or like jerk off covered in blood? Like, what's the visual here?
You know, I didn't want to give it that much thought. It's just it's Brundlefly's thing. It's not my thing. So he's probably the guy to ask.
Either or. It depends on how I feel.
Oh, good. Yeah. Not okay. Okay, I'm a little concerned.
HK, did you perhaps have a picnic with your lovely bride?
No, we didn't. Friday, we went to dinner, and then Saturday, a little Costco action. Costco action Saturday. It was good. Mowing the lawn, you know, that type of stuff. Sunday, got together with Duke, did a little recording on Sunday, and had electrician over yesterday. Put a little electricity down in your room, double T. So you got another outlet down there for you. Yeah. It's for you, buddy.
Is there a grassy knoll outside of Rancho Loco where you could have a picket?
There's a beach outside of Rancho Loco. You can enjoy it. It's very nice.
There's not a beach.
The fuck there's not?
I didn't see a beach there.
You got to look with your eyes, not with your mouth.
You think that thing behind the parking lot is a beach?
No, there actually is a beach area.
In the restaurant?
No, across from the parking lot on the lake.
All right. Is there sand?
There's sand, man. Sand and water. What else do you need?
Interesting. I don't know if that constitutes as a beach.
I think it does. Sand and water is a beach, right? What else do you need? Beach.
I don't know. Isn't like that? I would. That's more like a lake. I equate the beach with the ocean.
Doesn't have to be. Doesn't have to be.
Yeah, I've been to beaches on a lake before.
Yeah, see.
Yeah,
beaches on a lake. Man. Baby Jay, we see you, man. Can we like?
Yeah, come on, we're checking on the weekend, man. Like,
come on, man. It's not always about you coming in hot. We'll
yeah. Yeah, you and Dyson, baby Jay. How was your weekend? How about that? Yeah.
Vacuum cleaner, the old sucker Dyson. There you go. You happy, Dyson?
Can I get a shout out?
Now look, I might this Brendo, is this the friend with all the YouTube guys? Maybe this is why last week's episode I will use. Aki, I'll shout you out. Fuck, I'll do the whole show. I'll shout you out, bro. Baby Jay, I got to know, the shout outs, are these people listening? Do you like, hey, I got you shouted out like in the first like couple minutes? Is that what we're doing here? Is that all we need to do to get fucking people to watch the episode?
Shout out. Don't see what you do this weekend, man. You work?
Working man's a sucker. Yeah. That's what's busy. It's the busy season, man.
It is.
We're out there with slinging pies. You know, I was, I don't know if you saw the goofy weather, wrestling related weather thing where the flag flew off the top of the WWE building and flew into the power lines and started knocked out like power in all of Stamford, Connecticut. We got that weather here on Saturday too. So it was pretty nasty storm. I thought that was pretty funny.
I completely missed that. That weather didn't hit Atlantic City. So. By the time I got back, it was gone. But I saw the remnants of it. A lot of trees down.
So let's talk about this Atlantic City trip, Brundle Fly. You went down to the Showboat?
Yes, the Showboat.
For GCW's Tournament of Survival?
Yep, in the parking garage area of a Showboat.
Hold on. Wait, it's not like in a ballroom?
No, they don't have it in a ballroom anymore. It's a big open, like, I guess it would be part of either a convention center, but it looks like a parking garage also.
Okay. It's a parking garage. You went to a parking lot.
The acoustics suck in it, but there was a fucking lot of people there, though.
It's not made for a wrestling show. It's made to park the car.
Yeah, and I went to it when it was in the ballroom, and it was totally different.
Did they do it outside one year, too? That seems a bit.
Yes, that was COVID year.
Okay. So
they did it outside, and I remember, I think it was like Ali Ketch saying like the most painful thing was getting slammed in the ring where it was like 100 degrees on a canvas.
I believe it. So you you did not stay the night.
No, we never stayed the night. It's a 5 o'clock start, so
okay.
It's done 8:30 or so.
Do you gamble?
No, no
slots, no nothing.
No slots, no sluts, no nothing.
Are you like 5-1 black or something?
Not for Brunafly.
No. Nice.
No, nice.
You don't gamble at all, Brundlefly?
I not really. Like, I did a bunch in the back in the day, and I lost a lot more than I won. So, I mean, if it's a whole bunch of people going, I'll play like blackjack with a table of my friends. but I don't want to be stuck at a blackjack table with those people that are like professional players and get pissed when you hit on the wrong card.
Yeah, guess what? Those people that play at the $10 tables, they're not fucking professionals. They're just fucking drunk assholes usually.
True.
The high roller table is usually either the guys that are professional or the guys that just have money to fucking piss away. But the jerk off next to you at the $10 table, he's not a fucking professional.
No, no, not at all.
All right, so no gambling, but what I mean, no. You didn't have fucking I don't know who the fuck Fetty Wap is, but I bet you he was not in the bingo card for people to see.
No, it was not. He was people went nuts for him when he came out, though. I guess everybody but me and my buddy that came pretty much knew who Fetty Wap is. And I texted my son. I was like, do you know who Fetty Wap is? He's like, yeah, of course. Okay, he just hit somebody with light tubes with Nick Gage.
HK, do you know who Fetty Wap is?
No, I have no idea, but the way Brundlefly put that, it just fucking blew me away. Pretty much everybody came but me and my brother. Fucking horny parking garage, man. I have no idea who Fetty Wap is. I know who Unskinny Wap is.
Tony?
I don't.
There it is.
Okay, so I had to Google him. I had to put him in the Google. He's a rapper.
Yes.
Pretty popular.
Yeah, like 9 million Instagram followers or some shit. He had a concert there that night.
And then he just decided he was going to show up with a... Hey,
I guess... Yeah, they worked out.
I'm all for Nick Gage being clean and healthy. Is he like AIDS or something? He looks like not healthy. He looks very thin. It's worrisome for me.
Maybe he's doing a lot of cardio.
Well, yeah, fair.
Yeah. I mean, the thinner Nick Gage is probably a better one. He didn't take his shirt off. He used to be pretty freaking cut after cleaning up for a while. So,
was he? Now I've been out on. I haven't been out on purpose. I've just been busy, so I don't. Has he been back in GCW long, or is this like his?
He's shown up here and there.
Okay.
So, yeah, but it was awesome to see him again. Anytime you see that guy live, it's fantastic. No matter whether there's a Fetty Wap in the ring or not.
Hey, I mean, look, Fetty Wap is, I mean, I guess more people found out about GCW because of Fetty Wap this weekend.
Oh, yeah. This is a very, very smart thing to do. I don't blame him for doing it.
I wonder whose idea that is or how it comes together.
Yeah. Yeah. Brett doesn't look like a Fetty Wap fan. Emil, maybe.
Yeah. Oh, that's probably it. Emil knew he was there. They probably knew somebody. Okay. I like that.
Yeah.
I know this is going to blow HK's mind because I know he probably has no idea who was in the tournament of survival.
All right. So we had.
I will tell you to just Google Jonathan Gresham's back.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Gresham, so we had. It? Yeah. Gresham fought Takeda, a Japanese deathmatch legend. And Gresham went hard. That match was freaking great too. Just like it, like psychology wise, it was awesome. I loved seeing like the beginning of it. Gresham, there's like nothing on the canvas or whatnot, so they're trying to wrestle each other, and Gresham's taking them down, doing headlock takeovers and everything, getting the better of them. And Decatur finally just gets up, grabs a bunch of light tubes, and just breaks them all on the canvas, and it's like, all right, let's wrestle. You know, you want to take me down? Do it into a pile of glass.
I don't like it.
Yeah, he enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gresham is so good.
He is. Yeah.
He is so fucking good. And like, if that's what he wants to do, like if that's his thing, that's what he wants to do, and give it a whirl, go ahead, give it a whirl. But like, he's a good dude too. I've shared a locker room with him. Super nice guy.
Yeah.
He's smaller than I am.
Yes.
He shouldn't be in those death matches, man. Like it's to me, and there's nothing against deathmatch guys, right? Nothing against him. But like, a guy that is as technically sound as Jonathan Gresham, in my opinion, should not be in the death matches. right? That's not where I want to see him. That's not where he's going to shine. So for him to be doing a death match in a fucking parking lot, it just, you know, it's so disappointing to me.
Yeah, well, but it's not like he's doing it in a parking lot with 25 people around him. He's doing it with, you know, a parking lot with people.
2,000 people in the parking lot, Bruno Fly, come on.
There was a lot of fucking people. It wouldn't surprise me. 2,000
people in the parking lot.
You weren't there. I was.
No, I would not be there.
In your face.
Yeah.
2,000 people in the parking lot seems a little, I don't know.
It doesn't. There's a lot of fucking people there. Like, that's like a, I know one of my friends was there. Him and his buddy, that's their annual trip. That's the only wrestling show they go to all year. It's TOS in Atlantic City.
That's funny. Okay. My friend that I was with, it's also the only wrestling show he goes to all year.
Oof. And I also don't think the Jonathan Gresham deathmatch thing is like the Bear Bronson thing, where Bear Bronson kind of was coming out of AEW, where he was like in the goofy like titty tag team, and he kind of like reinvented himself. Like, I think this is fucking Jonathan Gresham. I think this was a chance my understanding from following him on social media stuff, like, he fucking loves pro wrestling. So to get in there and get to have a death match with Takeda, who's like a death match like legend, like a one off, you know, it's hysterical to watch Jordan.
I don't know. He said like, oh, this might be something I might be doing more often. You know, Jordan Grace responds, the fuck you are.
He should probably listen to her too. Smart money's on Grace.
Yeah. No, but he did a great job.
I think that's the fun thing with like pro wrestling. Like, I know like in ECW, there's instances where you're like, we were so trained, like Axel Rotten couldn't do a wrestling match. And then I've seen like him and Devon where it's just strictly like one tackle, drop down, arm drags, rest holds. Like, they're not getting violent. June Kasai being in the best of the Super Juniors, like, I think it's fun when like these guys, like, clearly they're all trained to be pro wrestlers,
right?
Almost,
right? And some of them, like, you know, like, do you remember Brendo probably maybe more than you, HK, but when Drake Younger, before he became WWE NXT referee, whatever the fuck he was, and before he became like a little bit of a cuckoo bird, like, he had this like coming out on the independents and like PWG where he wasn't doing death matches, and him and like Sammy Callahan were fucking stealing the show. Like, he was having all these amazing fucking matches, but like, there was no spot for him 6 years earlier. So he had to do fucking death match wrestling to get on the shows. So it's fun to see these guys go outside their comfort zone. You know, I'm with you though, HK. Like, when I see Jonathan, I want to see like him have like a fucking technical match. Yes. You know, hopefully this is just a one-off thing and he's not doing it fucking every weekend.
Yeah. No, that'd be horrible. That'd be horrible. Don't do it every weekend, Jonathan. I'm begging you, buddy.
Maybe once a month.
No. Oh, fuck that. Fuck that. That's a guy that I am super like confused as to why he is not on my television somewhere. You know what I mean? Like, it kind of blows me away because he is unbelievably, he is far too talented of a performer not to be somewhere doing something. It has to be size, right? It has to be.
It has to be, yeah.
I don't think it's size.
No?
I think how? I think he... Look at the when he was the Ring of Honor champion, when AEW bought Ring of Honor, and the reports that came out, like, I feel like he's a guy that would work with whoever and do the jobs when they need to be done, but he wouldn't do it just because it didn't make sense. And they just brought fucking Claudio in to beat him, like, you know, and apparently that was like, there was like a big blow up there. Like, I feel like, I don't know. He's kind of a guy who maybe doesn't need the wrestling business. Like, maybe he did well with shoe. I don't know. I'm just talking out my fucking ass.
I get what you're saying.
Successful chartered accountant.
I don't know. Maybe he's fucking. Anytime he's on a show, like I'm super excited to watch him. He was on the GCW. What's the thing they do, Bruno? The Jersey J Cup. He had like a interesting match where like they were playing basketball. It was entertaining and it was wrestling and like it was like fucking great. Like anytime he's on a show, I don't know. She's doing great. She's in fucking WWE. So if he can fucking stay at home and take care of all the dogs and wrestle like once every 2 weeks, maybe that's what he wants to do. He's not a young chicken. I think he's like in his 40s.
It wouldn't surprise me if he was like a personal trainer at some point or something or not too. You just fucking look at him. He's jacked to the gills most of the time.
I don't think he has gills.
He's an octopus. Do they have gills?
Octopus do not have gills.
No.
Okay. I'm going to Google that.
Yeah, please do. Please do. I shared a locker room with him. He does not have gills.
What does he have? What are you scared
at? Hey now.
Octopuses do have gills.
No, suck it.
They typically have two feathery gills located inside their mantle cavity, the bulbous part of their body behind their head.
Mantle cavity?
That's what it says, bro.
Interesting. Well, I guess score one for Brundlefly.
That's right. I eat them. I should know about them.
Score one for the octopus.
All right. I should know more about that.
Yeah, you should. That's Jonathan Gresham was good. That will never, ever, whatever you want to call Ring of Honor now, right? It's never going to be that Ring of Honor. And that, like, I will go to my grave, like, being upset about that.
Because I always find it, like, interesting, old Ring of Honor. Like, in our area, it was on at, I get showed at 11 p.m. and 2 a.m. on the WB or Sinclair, whatever you want to call it out here. And then it always shocks me when, like, Duke tells me stories of his grandpa, who was probably, you know, in his late 80s at the time, who would tape it and watch Ring of Honor. Because it was like an athletic, you know what I mean? It was an athletic competition to him. It still fucking blows me away. He'd sit down and he'd be like, yeah, I walked in, Grandpa Lee's watching Ring of Honor. I'm like, fucking, you don't even watch Ring of Honor. He's like, I know. He likes it.
I fucking loved it, man. That pandemic Ring of Honor stuff they were doing was fucking great. And then to find out what they had planned and everything. Like, I love the Righteous, and that fucking Jay Lethal was going to be in the Righteous, and Gresham was finally the fucking world heavyweight champion, and Shane Taylor was on the come up, and it was like, oof. Here, it's fucking Dante Martin. Enjoy. It's like,
there's nothing wrong with Dante Martin.
I don't want fucking, no, I wasn't thinking of Dante Martin. Who's the other guy? An Action Andretti. There we go.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Way worse.
All right, here's your fucking Ring of Honor champion, Chris Jericho. Like, come on. Ugh.
Yeah. Wolf. I did brag to Will that on Saturday night, because Gresham came out full octopus and everything, and Will was at that last show that Gresham was at, and he just came out. He didn't have the mask, and that's like Will's guy. So I made sure to text him, like, hey, I got the full octopus. You didn't.
I feel like Ring of Honor sold those masks, like 10 of them, and I missed out on them. I would have 100% have bought an octopus mask.
Yeah.
I'd be wearing it right now.
I don't think you would.
You're probably right.
Yeah, it would be pretty hot.
Probably. I would have worn it a couple times, though.
Down a hornball.
But so what was the thing that Bear Bronson won? The Nick Gage Invitational.
Yes. Yeah.
So
yeah.
This tournament of survival, I'm guessing similar concept.
Yeah, basically the same thing, just, you know, not Nick Gage Invitational, but this was the first deathmatch tournament that they had. So this was the 11th one overall that they've had.
So by the time you get to the finals, like, the guys are just like, they touch them and they're just fucking gushing blood all over.
They come out bleeding. Like, the finals was Takeda and Mr. Danger, and they were just like annihilated. And those semifinals and finals matches really don't go very long either.
though. It's usually the opening matches where they fucking go all out, right?
Yeah, yeah. So the first match is our guest next week, Anakin Murphy. He fought Viperist and got annihilated pretty much.
Great. So we got a fucking loser next week. Here we get the second round.
He looked good, but you know, he just he got the shit beat out of him.
Is Viperous is a woman, right?
Yes, she is. And she put on a hell of a show.
Woman.
Hey, there was a woman that won Tournament of Survival a couple of years ago.
Sawyer, what's her nuts?
She won the Nick Gage one, Sawyer Rec. Rhea Yamashita won Tournament of Survival 2 years ago. Were you, 3 years ago at this point.
You were there for that?
I was there for that point. I've only missed it? Since I think we figured it out. We've been to 6 out of the last 8 of Tournament of Survivals.
It's funny, right? If you're tuning in for the first time or you just started listening or whatever, like, Handsome Kevin is from Minnesota, and I've only known Handsome Kevin for a short amount of time. And Brundo was, what's up?
It's like 5 years.
Yeah. I mean, compared to Tony, I've known Tony for like half my life. Right. Yeah. And then Brundo started out as a fan, thanks to the Fuckro Material podcast, the thing that,
Mikey and Jerry did.
There you go. Yeah. But who's the host?
Mike Freeland.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. So like, I'm still getting, like, I don't want to say I have HK figured out in terms of like his wrestling pedigree, what he enjoys, but I think I have a good idea. Brundo, I don't know what the fuck. I like, like, we did like the birthday show for HK where like I knew like his 5 favorite wrestlers or whatever. So like, I don't know, like, Brundo's birthday is coming up in July. Like, we talked about it last year, but I'm like, I don't know who, what fucking.
That's because I failed your test last year.
But it's also like, I don't know, like, do you just pick any deathmatch wrestler? Is there somebody that strikes a chord with you? 6 out of the 8 last Tournament of Survivals, but then, like, you love fucking, like, Nick Bockwinkel? Like, I don't know where to go.
I like wrestling. I like Mexican wrestling. I got, like, Japanese wrestling. I like deathmatch wrestling. I like it all. I'm a fan of just everything, but no, I think everything.
Everything?
Just about.
What's your cut? What's your, if you go back and watch old wrestling, do you have like a cutoff?
No, I mean, if it's something interesting, if it's something from the 50s, I would watch it.
Really?
I used to watch they used to do in the 90s, the Golden Age wrestling for a while. They went back to like the Gorgeous George days. I loved watching that.
They had those DVDs that they'd release.
Yeah.
I might still have some of those laying around.
Nice.
That shit was fun, like, especially in like when they were coming out with them. Because it was what, early mid 2000s, right?
Probably, yeah.
So like,
I forgot what channel they were on.
Coming out of the, you know, the Attitude Era when stuff started turning PG and there wasn't really a ton of other options outside of like if you wanted to watch TNA, like watching some of that shit from way back was fucking awesome. It was so old, it was like revolutionary to watch. It was fucking amazing. It was mind blowing. That shit was fun, man. I was into that. I'm with you, Brundle Fly. Just stop watching the deathmatch stuff. That's all.
Nah, I'm not gonna do that. I love my deathmatch. I love watching Gorgeous George, and then I like watching, you know, Nino Extremo and Little Sicko hit each other with porcupine quills.
Yeah, Mr. California, right? Terrible.
Mr. California sucked.
Yeah, he sucks. Like I said, I like all kinds of wrestling as long as it hits the feels. Mr. California hits the shits.
That's the so it's. And it, from 1950 to Mr. California.
Oh, perfect timing. True Prince of Pro asking if who I hate. Yeah, Mr. California is one of them, but also The Miz.
Really?
I hate The Miz. I hate everything about him. I've never liked The Miz for however many years he's been in WWE.
It's a bad call.
I don't know if we've ever had this conversation, so I'm just going to throw it out there. Maybe a true prince of pro could tell us, because he's been around pretty sure for the whole duration of the show, and he probably remembers more of the shit than I do. I never hated X-Pac, so like X-Pac heat was never a thing for me.
No, I never hated him either.
I saw him live. Double T, you saw where I grew up.
Yeah.
Walking distance from that house, I saw him and Jerry Lynn at a bar on the golf course. Awesome. Man, like, I was in on Waltman Lightning Kid from the beginning, and Duke and I actually just talked about like how good he is, and you don't see him have a bad match with absolutely anybody. How he's not in the Hall of Fame on his own is kind of fucking mind-boggling.
Yeah. For,
like, the run that he's had, he always makes everybody he's with look fucking amazing. Everybody doesn't have anything bad to say about him in the ring, right? We're talking in the ring. Yeah. How does he not have his own spot in the Hall of Fame?
It's a great question. And, like, if you listen to, like, Something to Wrestle With or any of those wrestling podcasts, like, it was always, like, put him in there with Kid. If he has a shitty match with Kid, then he's no fucking good.
Right.
Because the Kid is the fucking measuring stick.
Yeah. If you could have a good match with Kid, you'd move on to Razor and then to Shawn and then to Diesel.
Yeah, I never got the X-Pac heat thing.
Yeah. There is another wrestler I hate, Larry Zbysko. He fucking sucks.
Wow. Why are you going after HK?
I'm not even going. That's the Miz and Zbysko are my two.
Yeah, I don't get it, Brundlefly. I don't get it.
I never got it with him either.
You son of a bitch.
Back to Ring of Honor. There was a part of that Ring of Honor run where I fucking hated Dalton Castle.
Really?
Oh my God, when Roosh beat him at the Garden in like 9 seconds, I fucking jumped out of my seat and popped. Like, it was the biggest pop of my life. He turned on me, HK.
Okay, you made the turn is what you're saying. You made the turn.
He made me turn.
Okay, he made you make the turn.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, because like, Castle's the best, man.
When he won like the Ring of Honor world title, like, I just didn't like, I wasn't into it. When he beat Cody at the Hammerstein, like, I just was like, is this the fucking guy? And he was always hurt. He had like fucking Dolph Ziggler of Ring of Honor. He'd come out for fucking matches. He'd be taped together like fucking. He was falling apart. I don't know. I just wasn't into it. But I don't know if I actively. I mean, I hate Shawn Michaels.
But you could enjoy his matches.
Oh, yeah. He had the fucking 96.
I hate Shawn Michaels too, but I'll never like say he wasn't a bad or good wrestler or anything. Ooh, especially, I think I enjoyed him way more when he came back. That second run he had.
Fucking dumb haircut.
Yes, Cyclops dumb haircut, but fantastic matches.
But like you said, it was 96, like Good Friends, Better Enemies was great. He was in the six man against Camp Cornette. You know, the Vader stuff, he's kind of a dick about it.
Yeah.
You know, he was a dick against Bulldog, his first title defense. I think he was fucking yelling at somebody during that match, too.
Yeah.
But also, like, his guys weren't there.
Right.
Right? Like, Kevin Nash was kind of like his fucking babysitter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Goldberg, right? I think universally, right? We can say not good. Not good matches. Not somebody you can... Goldberg's easy to hate.
Yeah, but I liked Goldberg during his original run, so I can't really say that.
You did Brundlefly? Of course I liked it. I was like, it was. But it was, look, I'm not going to pretend like, you know, in the moment when you're flipping between Raw and fucking Nitro, like if I flipped on Nitro and Goldberg was on, I stayed. If fucking Hugh Morris was on, I went back to fucking Raw.
Unless he's going to Goldberg.
Goldberg, you're gonna see what, a minute and a half, so you know you can stay for it and get hit back to Raw and see something that's, you know, fucking.
You get the bottom five with his entrance or whatnot.
If you add his entrance, Goldberg's one that I always just you can get the fucking guy next, get him out of here. And Luger, fucking Luger, no Luger, yeah,
really,
no Luger, yeah. Luger Crush, turned. How about that? Crush is another one.
Hey, Crush pinned you in WrestleFest. Remember that?
I don't.
I do.
Yeah, I go blacked out in rage.
All variations of Crush?
Yeah. Yeah, I do not like Crush. Don't like them whatsoever. No Shaka Bra, no Demolition.
Jailbird.
No Convict. No.
Nation of Domination.
What was Crush? Chronic?
Chronic Crush? No. No. That would be, so that was the one that he probably had the most success with, where I was finally like, okay, I can deal with this, but I was such a Bomb guy. So, like, he had Bomb with him. It's hard not to, you know, or Clark, I guess, he'd be what he went by at that point. But, like, I was always a big Bomb, Wrath, Clark guy. So, you put him with Crush, it kind of somehow enhanced Crush a little bit, in my mind at least. But no, fucking Crush. That's another one. Get him out of here.
I don't know, man. I like Shaka Bra Crush.
Yeah.
Why?
He was cool.
What I was cool about
the Kona Crusher, the head crusher was fucking awesome.
Head crusher, fucking hanging out on the cliffs, brother.
Chuck him fucking.
He almost slammed Yoko.
Oh my god, Doink beat the shit out of him. What a fucking asshole with his fake arm.
That was great. Loved it. Even then, I was like, yes, please, wallop him again.
I didn't do it for me. That's weird. Yeah, that's a good question. So Brundo hates The Miz and Larry Zbyszko. Yeah.
There's probably others out there.
You never had a death match thing, HK? Like, there was never, like...
You know, you're reading, like, the end of a PWI, and they go to, like, the FMW or IWA tapes, and you never wanted to see a Piranha death match or a Glass match.
Floating ring match? Like, yeah. I want to check this out? Nothing.
No, oh, here's Cherry Gordy and Thumbtacks, you know.
No, nothing like that, man. Like, so as close as it, like, would ever get was probably anything that I would see in ECW. You know what I mean? Like, because, and I've told you guys this before, like, you had to work to watch ECW when you lived in Minnesota. So, like... Yeah. That was like when I would see stuff there, that was as brutal as it ever needed to be for me. And obviously a huge, huge Mick Foley guy, right? He's got one of the centerpieces of my office. It's all Mick Foley. But like when you get back to like that super death shit that he does, like it's just not for me. I don't need super death, right? It's not for me.
Super I think death. Too, it was a lot prevalent. It was prevalent in this area too. Like, you know, CZW ran local. Jersey All Pro for a while was deathmatch. That was local to here, so it was easier to get like the deathmatch stuff. And then from CZW, I learned about IWA Mid South and all the other ones.
Yeah, man, IWA Mid South ran just south of us all the time.
Oh yeah,
oh yeah,
Mid South, you say?
Yeah, IWA Mid South. Yeah, they're in Iowa all the time, all the time. I know what you did, Double T. I was going to no sell you, but I'll give it to you.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I was like 94, 95 WWF, I will always love. But like, I was like, you know, like becoming a teenager. And it was like, I don't know. How do I fucking cheer for the Pug and fucking Freddie Joe Floyd?
How is the Pug Cortel?
When there's like fucking ECW on, I'm like, this is fucking cool. It's dirty. It's grungy. It's grimy. Oh, and what's this in the back of this PWI? Exploding Deathmatch? Hold on. Take a seat, Thurman Sparky Plug. Let me check out Mr. Pogo and Onita.
You know what's funny is I was just listening to an interview with Hardcore Holly, and he was talking about Thurman Sparky Plug and, you know, becoming Bob Spark Plug Holly. And I'm thinking back, I'm like, you know, I know how bad it is now, but I really didn't hate it back then. Like, I enjoyed Thurman Sparky Plug. I just realized, oh, this is a race car driver that's a wrestler. I didn't think it was ridiculous or anything.
I know. I mean, look, I'm with you. I love
like any of that stuff.
Rose, I loved it.
Yeah, Duke Drozzi was another one.
Yeah, here comes the garbage man.
I fucking loved Man Mountain Rock. Big fan.
Max Payne.
Yeah.
And I never remember seeing. Did you guys see the fucking the WWE Vault put out Best of the Action Zone?
Yes.
Really?
I did see that.
Yes.
Nice.
Yoko Mabel match where it's Todd Pettengale and Jim Ross calling it.
Jeez. Interesting pairing. Interesting. So they, I guess the response for the vault has been overwhelming to them as far as like subscribers and all that. So I just wish that they would take just two full shows, man. I don't want like the best of. I want full shows. I want to see the fucking weird, you know, Marty versus some unknown jobber that had one crack. Like, I want to see those matches too. I just don't want to see the best of this show. Give me all of it.
I know they have like I know on the WCW channel they have like full episodes of like Saturday Night on there. Some of these sites are hard to me fucking old Matt hard to navigate. Let's see what's on. Let's see WWE Vault. Visit the channel. Get a video. So what do we got here?
Oh, and they keep on uploading shit, man.
Yeah, they do.
They do that. That I'm thankful for. Like being able to stop it and be like, hey, they got a new, you know, 2 hours of Battle Royals. I'm like, well, fuck me. It's, looks like I know what I'm watching for my entire walk this morning.
Best of WWE 20. I feel like, okay, you go to the homepage, you scroll all the way down. Full length events from the vault. Mixtapes and marathons. Must-see matches. Story of... I feel like they have like
the story of compilations are really good.
There's a best of WWE. They have 41 videos there. I guess that's like Coliseum home videos. Mm-hmm. All right, they have that. Broken Skull sessions. Don't care. I guess they don't. It's not Ruthless Aggression documentary. Saturday Night Main Event is there. Wait, yeah, okay. I'm with you, HK. Give me them full fucking episodes.
Yeah,
they started putting Raws on. Maybe it's on their playlists. Yeah. All right. Whatever. We can fucking figure that out. Did they start putting full Raws on Netflix yet?
There's been a handful of them up there that since Raw moved over, and I don't know how many that I don't know if they've added more or not. I haven't gone back to the well on it yet. So, yeah, I've been falling asleep super quick lately, so it's, couldn't tell you. I don't get enough time to like scroll through and be like, I want to watch this Raw from 1995, and it was super limited what was up to begin with. So I don't know if they've added or not. Haven't been back to the well.
I did break out my my Sting DVD the other night, the WWE one.
Okay.
Best of Sting. Not a it doesn't have like a documentary to it. It's just a lot of like Sting matches.
Yeah. The documentary aspect is always the interesting part to me.
Documentary's fun because I think there were two Sting DVDs. I think there is one that has a documentary to it, and this is just like all his like the Ascension. Like it starts with him and Warrior as fucking whatever they were.
The Dingo Warriors.
Yeah. The Blade Runners.
Blade Runners.
Yeah, I remember somebody telling a story that, like one of their first nights in, it was them versus Lawler and Dundee, and it was a sellout at the curtain because they were supposed to go 30 minutes, and everybody wanted to see how that went.
Wow.
I think it was Jeff Jarrett that said like that was the worst match he's ever seen live.
Into the Light, was that Sting's one? Out of the Darkness or something like that?
Until I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he has two WWE DVDs. Yeah.
I don't know if I've watched either one of them.
Yeah, he came in kind of around the time where they stopped doing a lot of those. Because I remember they used to have a lot of those documentary DVDs.
I have so fucking many of them.
Yeah.
I have so many of them.
Yeah, I think I have them all. I think. Yes, Into the Light is the box set documents Sting's historic arrival in WWE and his lead up to his first ever match on the grandest stage of them all, WrestleMania.
And then he lost.
And the best of Sting is just like he goes through his career and, you know, when he wins the TV title from Mike Rotunda and defending it against Butch Reed and Flair and Rude and Vader and Cactus Jack and all that jazz. So, yeah, I like the DVDs.
Good stuff.
And you know what? It was what, and I hate to say this and sound like such a fucking dork, but I would just watch the documentaries because I was like super into the documentaries. I never really went back and watched the matches. So, The fact that I held on to all these and I have a DVD player hooked up now where I can go back and watch a lot of the extras and the matches, like, it's a home run for me.
The documentary side of things always, like, because you remember the matches, you watch the matches. Like, the documentary side of things always intrigued me a little bit more. Like, I watched, was it Kevin Nash on the Broken Skull Sessions the other day? Like, I've seen it before, but, like, just watching or listening to him on Inside the Ropes, and he is such a fantastic storyteller. Like, to go back and listen to him on the Broken Skull Sessions, super interesting. Taker, same thing, too. Like, I always find it more intriguing listening to them talk about different parts of their career and different stories of the road and that kind of stuff, as opposed to going back and watching like the matches again. You know what I mean? Like, I could watch him and Bret Hart a million times at Survivor Series, sure. But like, listening to him break down shit about his career is always much more fascinating. So I'm with you on that. The documentary side of things are Double T.
Once in a, I mean, they don't make fucking DVDs anymore, but they would sneak in a couple matches that maybe you know, have never been seen or you only heard of, or it's the extended version. So it was always fun to go back and watch.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Definitely.
Well, we went just a tangent. That's what we do here. Just bullshit. You know, tournament of survival to fucking WWE DVDs.
Yeah.
Good shit.
Great shit. So here we are. We find ourselves. The King and the Queen of the Ring are happening. Raw, the last 2 weeks, has been on at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm assuming SmackDown airs the same time, but then they just put on tape delay, right? Because they're still over there, right?
Yeah, they taped SmackDown earlier in the day, but because it's on regular TV, not Netflix, it has to be on at 8 o'clock at night.
So we have all the – we had all the brackets. They announced them at Clash in Italy. And we are, you know, a week away from finding out who our final four are. And then they will battle it out at the Night of Champions. We will not be getting, Cody versus Roman.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. They're not doing that this year. Cody, I think they're going to do Cody Gunther like the week before, at least that's what it sounds.
They announced it on SmackDown. Let me see, Cody.
Right, Gunther's going to pick the stipulation this week, but Cody like wants to defend the title on the 19th, right? And that's the SmackDown Missouri or something, which is a week before Saudi, and he's on the poster. So are we going to get like a schmoz, and then he's going to defend it against Gunther at the Night of Champions?
I don't know. It's a little oversaturation right now. And I love the King of the Ring, right? Yeah. I 100% love the King of the Ring. I just can't tell. I really wish that they would, and I don't even like, I don't mind the four way. You know what I mean? Like, I don't mind the four way.
You don't mind the four way, huh?
To get into the whole goddamn thing. Like, I don't really even mind that. I wish the tournament was that was part of the night. You know what I mean? The true tournament was part of the night, like it used to be. Right. And I really think that the winner of the King of the Ring should get the title shot in SummerSlam. You know what I mean? Like, that's easy ways that make sense to go about it. And they say not, I don't know. I'm going to watch, but I'm not as amped as I'd like to be about it. And I think part of that too, is knowing that going in, like I might get 5 matches on the event. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, they got to do a little bit of switch, you know, switch it up a little bit, liven it up a little bit for me, WWE, just liven it up. That's what I want.
A little bit. Do you like the King of the Ring men's feel? Like, we've got 3 of the 4 going into the semifinals. You got Obafemi, Dirty Dom. Very surprising, Javon Evans win this afternoon on Raw.
Really?
Yes, because the Vision got involved and they handled Seth Rollins, so that allowed Javon Evans to steal a victory. And then on SmackDown, it's Fergal, Yeet, LA Knight, who had a big fucking segment tonight or this afternoon on Raw, and Royce Keyes.
Yeah, I don't mind that. I don't mind the setup. I don't think Oba can. I don't think you do it with Oba right now. I really don't. I wouldn't mind Finn and Dom, really. I wouldn't mind either one of those guys winning it. I think that Finn winning it and doing something in AAA is continuing on with the King of the, you know, King of the Luchadors works. But also, like, Finn really never got back up to that spot. Right. When he was, you know what I mean? So, and I think he still can. So, those are the guys that I would like to see do it. I don't think that Oba needs it. Rephrase that. He doesn't need it. It's not something I think. Right. He doesn't need to be the King of the Ring. And it'll be just fine. But I think it'd be a nice little feather for Finn if you wanted to get him back in that top tier. You know what I mean? And I think he can still do it. So I'm okay with that.
I heard something earlier this week that it would be pretty fun, and this kind of changed my thoughts on Liv Morgan being in it. It would be kind of fun to see Liv Morgan and Dom be King and Queen of the Ring. Like, I think they could have some good shit come out of that.
I didn't even think about that, but yes, you were right,
bro. I mean, wow. And thinking about that also, boy, I wish, what's her name, Roxanne was still in it. Because seeing her and Dom, King and Queen of the Ring, that would have even been better, I think.
What about Pancake Tits Rodriguez?
She's still in it. But yeah. She doesn't have like the I'm trying to steal Dom story.
No, they kind of furthered that this afternoon. Roxanne kind of, you know, Raquel and Liv and Dom, they're all excited. Liv's got some tips on how he can beat Oba. Liv and Raquel, oh, they're like, oh, it'd be great if we advanced in the tournament. And then Roxanne kind of like a side eye and like, I'm going to fuck this shit up for you bitches. Now, look, let's just, and they planted all these seeds like with LA Knight, like he's the chief in his neighborhood. That's what he said in his promo today. And that like Usos can't win on their own. They need the bloodline to help them. So like they're planting those seeds. Seth is like, Roman doesn't own a fucking solo victory against me, so they planted that, but he's still dealing with the fucking Vision. So, like, if Dom were to win, HK, like, where do you send? Is it Cody or is it Roman?
Oh, if they give him the title shot?
Yeah.
Who's I think it's Cody. I think
what if Fergal? Is Fergal going after Cody? Is Cody the guy?
No, I think that if Finn wins, I think he goes after Roman.
No, well, he just got moved to SmackDown, and Cody's the champ of SmackDown, so
Cody. If you get your pick, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think, because wasn't Roman the champion coming out of when Finn put it down, or was he, Finn got it after Roman put down the belt? How did that remind me? I can't place it.
What, when Finn won the belt or?
Yeah.
He beat Seth.
Right. But was that
when Roman set it down
for the title?
Yeah.
Oh,
I believe that's how it played. There's some connection there. So, I mean, and you're digging deep into the past, but there's still, you can, you know what I mean? Like there's still a connection there. It'd be interesting. Yeah, but I think Dom Cody, and I think Finn Roman, those are the ones that make sense to me. Yeah, because I just know, like, Roman, fuck, Dom versus Roman is just not, like, in any conceivable way a hint of believability that Dom can beat fucking Roman. You know what I mean? Like, there's not a fucking sliver of, it could happen. And I don't think Roman has that same... Roman doesn't work the same style matches of like a Gunther, because when Gunther fights anybody at a certain point, it seems like he'll get you to believing that whoever he's facing has a fucking chance, even if there's no reason to believe that they have a fucking chance. Roman doesn't work matches like that. There's no reason to think that he'll have a fucking chance. Dom doesn't have a fucking chance, right? No chance.
I don't know. I think the way they've been pretty good with Dom over the last like two or so years, his IC title run, his AAA title run, all that fun stuff. I think they could maybe slip a little believability into it.
Oof, it'd be tough.
It would be tough, but I think they could.
Listen, True Prince of Pro chime in here. He says, I think WWE can ride the momentum of his win tonight and have Javon win the tournament. Even if he loses to Roman at SummerSlam, a huge match like that could do a lot in terms of making him a top star.
It's not wrong.
It's not wrong, but you're, you know, on the other side of the bracket. He's going to have to go through either. First, he has to beat Finn, Yeet, LA Knight, or Royce Keys. Then he has to beat either Oba or Dom. That's a fucking road to go through.
Yeah, and I don't think he's there yet. I still think he's just moves. He's just moves, and he's not moves that aren't going to lend to a long career. That's for sure. So that's where he's at. I don't think he's there yet. He's a good spot. You know what I mean? Like, he's a good guy. You want to see him, but
right.
He's just moves right now.
I'm very interested in what they did with LA Knight today with him. Like I could see him winning this and going after Roman.
It seems
like something they're kind of like. They're a couple years late on LA Knight. Also, I looked up 2016 was when Finn won the title. That's 10 years ago. That's fucking crazy.
Yep. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Was there a Roman connection somewhere in there, Double T?
It was the inaugural WWE Universal gimmick.
Oh, really? It was just okay. Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, Steph.
Oh, that's right.
Steph and Mick Foley.
Okay.
Unveiled the new title.
Yeah. Now I'm remembering. I was remembering
he it had over. It. He had it for one day.
Yeah. Then he was that. Right.
It's a shame.
Was Roman even on that SummerSlam? Let's see.
10 years ago. That wasn't like that wasn't when he stepped away for the was it like leukemia?
Leukemia, he had, I don't know. That might have been there. No, that might have been the time he stepped away.
The main event was Brock and Randy. Just a singles match, no title on the line.
That's when he Brock elbowed him in the head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who was the other champion at this time?
Was there another champion? Maybe there wasn't at this time.
Beats me. You see, let me ask you guys this, because I'll get caught lost fucking reading fucking about 2016 WWE and hate myself for the rest of the night. They announced today they moved the Money in the Bank to October. Is that a little close to fucking the Royal Rumble? Or are we going into it's so far ahead. Who knows what the fuck's going to happen? But Money in the Bank in October, Royal Rumble January. They drag both of them into the WrestleMania season. It's a wait and see thing. It just seems a little closer.
It's easier to drag it to WrestleMania with it being in October.
Quicker, yeah.
Yeah.
I still think they should just get rid of it. Scrap it until you have, until you have a reason to put on the match. Don't have an event to have the match. You know what I mean? Like if you got six guys that are viable contenders, or even four, have a Money in the Bank title match. Give them the fucking thing. But like to just have the match, I don't know. It's kind of sailed on me. I think it's kind of sailed. I think that it's especially having that pay per view in October when Survivor Series is now become War Games. It's a gimmick pay per view. Like it's too close. It's too close. Back to back months.
They're kind of getting close to where all of them are gimmick pay-per-views at this point. More than none, I would say. More than not.
Well, more than none would be right, Brendel Fly.
Yes.
But, we have Survivor Series, Money in the Bank, Elimination Chamber, Hell in a Cell. I guess I wouldn't count Royal Rumble, but it would be fair to.
Yeah, when was the last time they did Hell in a Cell, though, as like a pay-per-view? It's not one of their regulars anymore, is it?
I think they did take it off the rotation, so.
They did? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. You guys invested it on the Queen of the Ring?
No.
Not even after the tirade last week, Brundo, about Liv being in it?
Yeah, it's still... like I just said, I can kind of get talked into it, but even still, like, she's the fucking champion. She, if this is for a title, it still bothers me that the champion's in it.
What else did you get talked to down at the Tournament of Survival?
Chelsea Green would have been fucking perfect for the Queen of the Ring.
Yes, 100%. She would ride that. Like, I think she would make it as great as like Booker T when he won it and he became King Booker.
Yeah,
King Booker. Sorry,
Booker.
God, I hated that so much. I hated it. Hated everything about it. Fucking Charmel, get the fuck out of here.
Oh yeah, she's not great,
dude.
Get the fuck out of here.
So it's gonna be, we're gonna get Io Raquel, and then Liv won this afternoon, and then on SmackDown it's Jade, Charlotte, Lyra, Sol Ruka.
There's another champ in it.
And she just beat Lyra on fucking Raw this afternoon. And we know that Charlotte Jade is gonna be a thing because we saw that coming out of Clash in Italy.
Yeah.
Pass.
Charlotte can put a foot on the ropes. Jade's baddies couldn't.
Yes. Who was it? B-Fab.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. The Liv being in it, I feel like there's a means to an end where the Judgment Day finally falls. Like, what if Dom loses and Liv and Raquel lose? Like, does the Judgment Day completely fucking fall apart?
Be about time.
I don't think it completely falls apart. I don't think, at least, because you have to have something for the rest of them to do then. You have to have faces coming out of it being stronger faces, and you have to have the heels coming out of it be stronger heels. And right now, I don't think that any faces coming out of the Judgment Day are going to be very strong faces. So I don't think it makes sense to do so right now. And you have to have that next step for them. And right now, I don't think there's a next step that's going to enhance anybody by breaking up the group. Because what do you do? Pancake Tits Rodriguez? Was she going to be a super face coming out of it? There's no fucking way. Roxy, you might. You could probably make an argument. Might
come out of it. What if Dom cheats on Liv with Roxy?
I feel like that was the story like a year and a half ago.
Yeah, but then she got Liv got like her fucking elbow broke or whatever the fuck.
Oh yeah,
her, right.
Yeah.
And she was on the shelf.
They just never really went back to that.
Which so, I think, in hindsight, you know, you give Roxanne all those reps while Liv is hurt. Like, I don't think it hurts. She's fucking good too.
She is.
Yeah,
Roxanne Perez. I'm here for Roxanne Perez, Liv Morgan.
It's so funny. Like WWE's, like all these people you would think would be like super faces. Like they push as like super heels, like Roxanne, Bailey, what's her name, Charlie or whatever her name is now. She's in NXT. Shayna Baszler used to step on her elbow.
Shayna Baszler used to step on her elbow.
Oh, jeez, why is it?
Lola Vice?
No, she was in. She was with Bailey and Io in the. As a stable.
Dakota Kai?
Yeah, there you go. Dakota Kai. She's another one.
She's back?
No, she's gone.
Oh, she's on the indies, but she wrestles as Charlie now. That's her regular name.
She's a super face on the indies, Brundle?
When you first see her, she was like this cute woman and like timid and whatnot. You wouldn't expect her to be like a heel, like Roxy and Bailey and all them.
But sometimes you got to see how deep of a heel you can get out of them. So when they do make the turn, and you know this, when you make the turn, it's that much more. You get that much face out of them by making that turn, and vice versa. So it doesn't shock me one bit as far as that in a character development standpoint. So it's going to mean a hell of a lot more if they're the faciest of faces when they turn to heel. So.
Faciest of I'll tell you who's becoming the faciest of faces. You got, and I know because the fucking Raw was on 2 o'clock this afternoon, it's kind of fucked things up. Fucking Chad Gable. He apologized to fucking Rey Fénix on Friday night. Rey Mysterio Jr. and Penta had a fucking great match this afternoon. And then post match, Ethan Page and Rusev attack him, rip off Rey's mask. Dragon Lee comes down for the save. They beat him down. Chad Gable comes down, fucking throwing suplexes like nobody's business. Picks up the mask. He looks at it. And he gives it back to Ray.
Atta boy, Chad.
Atta boy. I was curious to see what they were going to do with this. Like, I'm excited for... I'm more excited for what they're doing with Chad Gable than what's like the King of the Ring shit. And or, like, this is this, like, I was the fucking mask versus mask match has got, I'm invested now. Right. So does I want to see what Chad does.
Does Chad Gable and his momentum also, Bruno Fly, you'll appreciate this. Gable is a former AWF alumnus there out here in Minnesota.
Oh, really? Oh,
go yes, figure. He is. Are we at a spot now where Chad Gable can get the underground swell like Daniel Bryan did? Can he get pushed into the stratosphere, right? Is that possible? Because we all know he's got character, right? No problem, right? Charisma shooting out of his dick. He's got in ring. I mean, top. He's all world in ring. He's right. Got the look. He's maybe a little bit shorter than you want him to be, but who gives a flying fuck? Because he's all world the other two. Like, is there a spot now where he can get that momentum? He can climb the ranks? Can he get shot? Can they shoot him at the moon?
I will believe it when I see it. Because maybe what they've done to us over the years, WWE, I still have a feeling like he's going to get a match with Penta and then he's going to, like, fuck everybody and take off Penta's mask and win the IC title and be like, haha, screw all you marks and, you know, go back to shush Chad Gable or something.
I can't. I don't want that.
Want it either, but I'm like programmed to think like this is what they're going to do to us.
We've been doing this for fucking 15 years. We've been doing the YouTube thing since the pandemic. The clip from last week, the 14-minute video, whatever it is, of us talking about the mask versus mask match has 360 views. It's blowing away all of our other videos. That's just us. People have been talking about this mask versus mask match all fucking week, all last week. Like, someone in WWE, like, and you have The Undertaker running AAA. He's like, Triple H, Mr. Undertaker's on the phone for you. Hey, buddy, don't fuck this up. See what we did here. Like, I think, like, it's a great redemption story. And every time he apologizes to somebody, they're still like, you got to go back further. You got to go back and apologize to everybody you did wrong. And, like, I could see him winning fucking Money in the Bank.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah.
You know, and you take the title off of Cody, you put it on like a bad guy like fucking Gunther, or you know, have Dom fucking be the AAA champion for fucking ever, and then who comes and saves the day down there? Chad Gable? Who knows?
There's last week's Raw, that, you know, last Monday afternoon's Raw. I don't know who it is, but somebody had the intelligence, I'm gonna say, they ran the mask versus mask match on Netflix after Raw. Oh, yeah. It's part of it. Like, even if you go now to go watch Raw, it looks like it's a 3-hour fucking Raw, because after your regular Raw time, they did the whole fucking package, the whole match, the whole bit, mask versus mask. So it does seem like they do want to capitalize on what's happening there. It's a fantastic story. It's one of the better stories they've done in a while.
No doubt. And it doesn't hurt, right? It doesn't hurt if you introduce new guys into this main event scene. Like, the idea that LA Knight could possibly win the King of the Ring and wrestle Roman Reigns, I don't think LA Knight will beat Roman Reigns, but it's different. Give LA Knight that platform. We saw what he did a couple years ago at SummerSlam with Logan Paul. Like, great fucking match. Like, he's super fucking talented. He can talk on the mic. He fucking, people like him. Like, put him in the main event scene. Give me something different.
I wish, right? LA Knight had the Jey Uso run last year. Like, I think they were pretty much on the same, like, popularity level. And I think if you gave that to LA Knight, it would have worked out a hell of a lot better, too.
You're 100% right. And LA Knight is much more talented. The only thing that LA Knight doesn't have is the crowd participation fucking entrance. That's the only thing. Like, he's better on the stick. He's a much better promo, and he's better in the ring. And quite honestly, I think he's got a better look. So it's weird that they went this crowd participation like entrance, right? Because it looks cool when he's coming down to the ring versus the guy that could fucking actually have the run and make the run mean something. Like, and I'm not an anti-use, right? Don't call me an anti-use, but I think that fucking LA Knight should have been the guy there. That would have made so much better sense in that aspect. I don't know. Who the fuck am I?
No, it makes sense. Like, I don't know. The Jey Uso thing was kind of, it was all entrance, and then he got in the ring, and you're like, I don't give a shit anymore.
Right? Yeah.
You know, there's that look. I'm kind of with HK on Javon Evans. Like, I think he's mid card. Like, he'd be a great IC champion. There's nothing wrong with that. Not everybody could be the world champion. In 5 years, he could be some generation's Jeff Hardy, and I'm okay with that. But right now, like, I don't know, him being there, like, he's like super underdog. Oba, we know he's gonna be the face of WWE. You know,
yeah. It's not. Do you think Brock screws him out of King of the Ring?
I think so.
Yeah.
You know, he called him a big bad bitch tonight or this afternoon. On the Raw.
That's great.
Two weeks in a row, he opened Raw Oba Femi.
Yeah.
Big bad bitch. It's fucking awesome.
they got a lot of. I don't want five matches. Like, Night of Champions, give me six.
Yep.
Give me, like, we'll talk about the homework in a little bit. Like, give me those, like, before match promos with guys who aren't in the next match. Like, come on, hype me up. Like, make me feel like this fucking means something instead of, like, you know, fucking Raw this afternoon. It was like every commercial was like a fucking podcast commercial now. That was the big fucking theme today.
I didn't even notice Clash in Italy, too. I didn't even notice till somebody pointed it out. It was not only was it five matches, it was just five singles matches, too. There was it was just singles matches. Nothing else. Just
and that's
no tag matches, no triple threats, nothing.
That irritates me so fucking much. Because wrestling's how many times have I said wrestling's a fucking variety show?
Yes.
You have to put variety in front of your viewers. And when it's just singles match, and five fucking singles matches, you're not getting variety. You're not. It fucking drives me
nuts. Even if it's just, women's and men's, it's still, women's and men's singles matches.
Singles match, exactly, man. You need tag team matches. You need, golly. Yeah,
who are, I know, so I didn't, I constantly forget who the tag champs are until Brundo sends the notes. So R-Truth and Damian Priest are still the tag champions on one brand. And then Division is still the tag team champions on the other?
Yeah. I don't think Damian Priest is like teaming with R-Truth most of the time, too. I think he teamed with somebody else like a week ago.
Yeah, isn't R-Truth got some medical stuff going on?
Probably. He's 54.
That's why he has no hair.
Yeah, he's got tardive dyskinesia from eating too much pussy.
I'm with you. Give me some tag matches. Like, let's change it up a little bit here, people.
Yeah. And I think the previous one, the only tag match they had was the Danhausen one. Backlash.
Oh yeah, give me that. Danhausen's supposed to be at the Garden tonight.
Oh God, if the Knicks truly do sweep, they should give Danhausen the key to every fucking borough in New York.
Hey, somebody paid somebody from the Panthers or somebody from a bunch of Las Vegas Knights fans. Paid for him to do a cameo to Curse Carolina, and then they played it before that game where Las Vegas beat him in like double overtime, and then somebody from the Carolina Hurricane paid for him to curse the fucking Vegas.
That's fucking fantastic. Good for him.
That's
man.
Awesome. Good yeah, absolutely.
Him. It's
getting all those monies.
My wife, God bless her, she's not a wrestling fan, but she because. You know, she gets like weird wrestling things in her like algorithm because she sends them to me, but she watches every fucking Danhausen video. She fucking loves it. My best friend who does not watch wrestling hasn't watched this since fucking 2000 loves fucking Danhausen.
Yeah.
Doesn't watch anything else, but he will go out of his way to watch all the fucking Danhausen clips. Like, it is awesome. It's fucking great.
Yep. 100%. I'm a Danhausen guy.
And again, I don't understand how AEW fucked this up.
I don't know that they fucked it up. They just didn't allow it to grow. You know what I mean? Like, that's one thing. And they're really good at that. And they were really good at that, especially back then. Like, bring him in. Like, he had a ton of fanfare when they brought him in. Huge pop, bunch of merchandise, all this stuff. He's moving merchandise. They didn't put him and continue to put him in front of the audience that wanted to see him. You know what I mean? Like, that's that back to that start, stop. Like, hey, look, we got this guy. He's here. You guys want to see this guy. And then now you're not going to see him anymore. You know what I mean? No, so I was just thinking, giving him the opportunity to continue to entertain the people and continue to grow, like, that was a big thing. And once he got into WWE, like, you already know that's a larger worldwide audience, and there's going to be more opportunity there. And he presents something completely different than what we're seeing in WWE. I mean, he's completely different than what you see anywhere, but, like, something completely different. So people are gravitating to it big time, and I'm fucking happy for him. I've been a Danhausen guy. My hat's off to him.
Yeah, no, look, you're not hiring him for his wrestling ability. You're hiring him because he's like this fucking over the top character. And like, there were like so many instances in AEW, like, you don't need him to wrestle. Just have him fucking curse people. Like, that whole fucking thing with the Young Bucks, like, he was still under contract with them when they were fucking, they kept losing. Yeah. And you could have easily been like, Nick, you think this is the time we got cursed by Danhausen? Like, just a reminder, like, he's still in the company? No, they just took him off TV for like fucking 16 months and you never saw him. Put him on fucking Ring of Honor tapings. Like, stop. Use him on fucking TV.
Mm-hmm. I think there was a time where they were about to, too. Because I remember there was a pay-per-view where he was a big part of a match and he got a big pinfall, and then he fucked up his shoulder and he was off TV right after that.
Have him wrestle. It's like when Austin broke his fucking neck. Just put him on TV and put a microphone in his hand.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, all the characters that are in AEW and all the goofy, like, backstage shit that we've had to sit through the last, like, couple of years, you don't think that would have been enhanced by just having Danhausen be a part of it?
Mm-hmm.
True.
You know, it's still, it's you know, but look, I'm with you, HK, though. I'm super duper happy for him. I think it's great. Fucking great. He transcends. He's all over. He's on fucking ESPN. He's at the fucking Garden. Like, it's a thing now. People are paying, you know, look, when fucking the baseball fucking World Series rolls around, I'm sure people will be paying him the fucking curse team.
Yep. It's going to be fucking great.
It's going to be ridiculous. The kid's going to be a fucking bazillionaire.
Yeah, he is. It's fucking fantastic. And I'm super happy, too, because when he debuted, there was so many people that shit on it. You know, I mean, there's so many people that shit on his debut in the E, and for it to get past that and then, like, so fucking over. It's, I don't know. It's rare we see this type of phenomenon in pro wrestling for a guy that, like I said, he doesn't need to wrestle. He doesn't need to. Keep going, man. Keep going. Go forever. Curse fucking everybody. Yeah. Fuck them.
Money equals money, baby.
Yeah.
That merch is fucking flying off the shelf. It's fucking great. And even like today, he was like tweeting at the mayor of New York City, like, I want a blimp that's gonna drop pizza and hot dogs when the Knicks win. Like, put me between Garfield and Snoopy. And he's like, and please, the guy that lives in the garbage can you please find him a home? Like, from the Oscar to Grouch. Like, he's just fucking brilliant.
Macy Day's parade. Is he getting a Danhausen? Is he getting a fucking balloon?
If the Knicks sweep, I think you have to.
I think you do. I think that's a no-brainer for the WWE. Put a fucking Danhausen blimp in the Macy's Day parade.
all the little midget housens running around.
It just flies away because they're not strong enough.
Well, no, they don't hold on to the thing, bro. Don't fly.
I thought that's where you were going. Oh, like all the dead and some... midgets oh, holding the balloon.
Oh, you get some sumo housings out there.
Yeah, the fuck a world is his oyster, man. Go get yours, Danhausen. Get it, donkey. It's like tournament heaven, right? Because over in AEW, we got the Owen Hart Memorial, whatever they call it. The Owen Hart Foundation Tournament. What do they call it? Whatever. It's a tournament, right? I'm also
It's Owen's Cup. You're wrestling for Owen's jock.
I'm all in for that.
I love a good tournament, but I think I'm starting to get tournamented out. Mm-hmm. Right. But I do, because I think I said this a couple weeks ago. Like, it's kind of like lazy booking. Like, you don't have, like, let's just have a tournament and then, like, you win. Now you're next. Like, there's no real, like I want to be invested the way I was in the mask versus mask match. And I know that's not going to happen every single time. You know, and look, to be fair, WWE right now with the King of the Ring, like, I'm interested. You got LA Knight. Like, he still has to win, but, like, he's got, like, a path. Oba has a path. Dom has a path. I don't think Javon Evans has a path, but somebody's got to lose, right? And then AEW with the Owen, like, the story's Will Ospreay, right? He's going to get the title shot. It's going to be in England. This weird relationship with Will with Jon Moxley where he has to find this, like, killer fucking instinct. Like, I'm kind of into it.
I'm very into that. Every week they get me more and more into it with Moxley helping him out and whatnot. I'm really looking forward to seeing where this is going to go because it can go so many different ways where, you know, you could have Moxley and the Death Riders eventually turn on him, or you could have the rest of the Death Riders turn on Moxley and he sticks with Ospreay or whatnot. And I'm really hoping it's him and MJF in London because that's going to just blow the fucking roof off the place.
So he's got to get past the winner of Brody and Swerve. We haven't had Ospreay Swerve yet.
I feel like they've had that somewhere. I think it's maybe when Swerve was champ, they might have done it.
I don't remember. I got nothing on that front. And I did watch a little bit of Dynamite this week. A little bit.
I thought it was a fucking great show.
I know. I remembered you saying that. Yeah, you texted the group and you got all fucking hard over it. You thought it was
I got really hard. I missed the opening match. I had to do something.
You missed the opening match, yeah, when MJF came out to the door, which was hilarious. Yeah, it was good. And then nobody gave a shit about Andrade still, so that's funny. And then
Andrade. I like this. I'll tell you what. I think I've reached my breaking point with everybody that's a bad guy does not have to be in the fucking Don Callis family. I like the Kevin Knight turn, right? And his reasoning was like, Darby had an opportunity, fucked it up, so now I'm going to fix it. But now, like, he's aligned with Don. I don't care now. Now I'm like, fuck off. How many fucking people do we need to have in this goddamn fucking group? And there's still people in the group that I forget were in the group.
Yeah. It's just one more crouton in the salad, Double T. That's all it is.
Yeah. I like croutons, but if I want to eat a fucking bread bowl, I'll just get a bread bowl.
Right.
Put all these croutons in my salad.
I fucking laugh my balls off. I laugh my balls off watching Dynamite, and when that son of a bitch introduced the newest member of the Don Callis family, and Kevin Knight came walking out audibly watching the show by myself, I fucking lost it laughing because it's so. So fucking stupid.
I thought you were going to laugh at this. Did you see his teeth fall out when he
announced
it? It was so great. I rewound it. I was like, wait a second. What the fuck?
His fucking chompers fall out when he's fucking. Yeah.
That's wonderful. That's hilarious. I didn't catch that.
Oh, it was great. It's not the first time it happened, too. It's happened a couple of times, apparently. It's getting to the point where it might be a bit.
If it's a bit, it's a fucking fantastic bit.
Yeah, Yeah, it is. Yeah, I thought him and Speedball was a great fucking match too. I really enjoyed it.
I don't like Speedball.
Were you watching the week before when he came out in that like karate gi suit? And like he's talking on his way to the ring, and it gets quite, he stops for a second, and you can audibly hear some guy just yell, "That suit is terrible."
Good.
He just, you see him like look over, like what the fuck?
Yeah, I don't like Speedball. There's nothing there. There's nothing there for me. Briscoe cut like a super long promo.
It was long. It was real.
It was long, but it was. I thought it was really good. Briscoe could make you feel. He can make you care and feel about stuff.
It went way too long, and then it almost felt like he was trying to make multiple points instead of just driving home the one. You know what I mean? Like when all of a sudden when he got towards the end and he started doing this religious thing, word of the wise, don't bring religion into wrestling. It never played out well, and it's never going to.
It worked for Dustin.
Yeah, he certainly went over pretty big there. Fuck me.
Mordecai.
So, it never really plays well. It just doesn't, so there's no reason to do it. But, like, that was the weird thing. Like, you could have just driven home that first part of the promo, and then he veered, again back into this religious thing at the end, didn't need it. He's a good promo. He can make you feel. But, like, yeah. That one felt like there was a real driving force. And then he went, all right, let me take off the gas and make this turn over here and let me turn again. And then we got to the point where it just drug on. And then I didn't really give fucking care by the end of it. Leo Rush, I don't want to see it all, period.
No, I'm totally with you. I hate Leo Rush.
Another guy you don't like.
Yeah. Right. You know what? Actually, there is a good reason for me hating. I've hated Leo Rush since I saw him in CZW wrestling Joey Janela. And Janela power bombs him off a ladder through a table, and Leo Rush kicked out at one and jumped up. And I was like, fuck this guy. This is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. Yeah. Never liked him since.
Yeah, fuck him. I'm with him. Yeah. Solidarity, Brundlefly. Fuck him.
Yeah. Oh, if I want Gollum, I'll watch Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, of course. I don't want to watch Lord of the Rings. Fuck Mercedes Monet, right? Fuck her too, right, Brundlefly?
Money. I fucking love her. No, loved it. Yes, no, I do. I'm so excited to see her back.
Excited? Why? Nobody gives a shit.
I give a shit. Plenty of people were chanting CEO out there.
No, Brundlefly, that's the music. Back. That's the music that does that.
The music. Next thing you're going to tell me they piped in Goldberg chants. Get out
of course they did. Golly, Brundlefly. It's so funny because the camera panned around to find like the three people in the crowd, the three little girls that were going,
CEO.
Yeah, they had loud voices.
CEO. No,
fucking music. God, it's horrible. That's where it started from.
Hey, calm down, HK.
You're scaring the dog.
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
Punch him in his dick. Molly Rogue says,
Molly, you know how to get him to quiet.
I got a different setup this time. So
Tropical says, Monet, the Zabisco of the women's division.
God, he's such an asshole. Nobody cares about her. Like, honestly, nobody gives a shit. And that's where this episode of Dynamite ended for me, because I wasn't sitting through the bullshit. Click, see you later.
Speaking of the bullshit, True Prince of Bro coming after you, Brundo, this week, not me. You hate Leo for no selling a table spot when a lot of the death matches guy have a shit.
I mean, that's fair. Yeah.
MB.
But there's plenty other. I've never really liked Leo since then, too. His start and stop retiring. I did like him when he was Bobby Lashley's cheerleader.
His character is a little creepy now. I don't mind it.
Yeah. Weird,
but he serves a purpose. He's there to get beat, like, he's not racking up the W's. I got no qualms with Mercedes here.
Yeah, I thought she looked good in the match with Windsor.
I do not like the fact that they tout her on commentary as the Owen Hart champion, like, that's a belt she never lost. Like,
she walked away with the title, too, didn't she?
Yeah, but it's not like no one defends the fucking thing after they win it. So why are we like making it seem like it's an important title? Like, you win it and you get the title shot and that's it. Like, nobody's like, you know, we're going to hang up the Money in the Bank briefcase and it's fucking Otis's. He never really lost it. You know, like, stop. It's a fucking gimmick. Like, I don't give a shit about the belt. It's the world championship match that she's fighting for, not this fucking piece of fucking shit she's going to put on her mantle when she goes home or have her fucking boyfriend come on it like Brad Maddox.
Where did that come from? Jeez.
That was yeah. I don't know. I just hate the idea, like, but she never lost it. That's the only title she never lost. Like, stop. It's not a title she defends.
So they're they're kind of right.
Is going to jizz on it?
Yeah, you remember when Paige was the champion and then she, you know.
But the Beast Mortos is gonna drop a load on
the Owen?
On the Owen?
I mean, maybe he already did.
Jesus. What does Martha think about that?
We can find out.
It stinks. I don't like it.
Stinks.
I do like the underlying, to go back to MJF. Like, I want MJF Andrade. And I think that's going to be your match at Forbidden Door. I know they're kind of pushing Bucknuts here, Mark Briscoe. But don't forget, Andrade is the IWGP Global. He's like,
Global champion, he's got, or something,
three-way
like
match
that
at Dominion on June 14th, and it's a three-way dance with Driller Maloney and somebody Tsuji? Else. Who
is it? Is it Tsuji?
No, because Tsuji's wrestling Callum Newman for the title.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Driller and fuck. Whatever. It's a three-way dance. Like, if MJF costs him the title, like, he shows up in Japan, like, that's a big deal, and he inadvertently helps Andrade lose the title. Like, then Andrade tells Don Callis, like, I'm done. Like, fuck this guy. I'm going to take his women and his perro and whatever, and then his title at Forbidden Door. Boom. There we go. And I'm in. I like it. I like Andrade. Since Andrade came back to AEW, I think he's been utilized very well, and I'm excited for this here. You know?
I'm with you on that one. I've loved Andrade since he came back. Great matches. It feels like he gives a shit, too. So
men's tournament, I like whatever prospects we have. The women's, like, I don't know. I don't know all these other Persephone and Hazuki, and I don't know what's going on over here. Like,
I'm starting to dig Persephone.
It was Persephone lost to Hazuki.
She did, yeah, but they got plans for her. You know, she called out the Triangle Madness because she said she wasn't really ready. They misted her, and she didn't have full eyesight, but she's like, that's fine, and you took my eyes, I'm going to take your ass. So.
Well, no, she's not going to have a butt.
Well, one of them isn't.
One thing that I wish AEW would not do, like, the Thekla Stardom story is great. But, like, they're shooting the angle at, like, they shot, like, an angle at WrestleMania weekend, which was not on an AEW show. Like, they're shooting, like, so if you're a casual, like, I think people need to remember, like, not everybody is, like, a sycophant wrestling fan, right? They're not watching, like, all the fucking wrestling. There's people who just watch Dynamite, and they just watch Collision, and they don't go on fucking Twitter all day or Instagram or whatever. Like, they're not fucking dialed in. Right. So for them on Wednesday night, when Thekla climbs the ladder and spits on the Stardom logo, there needs to be more context there. They need to show the video of her jumping that president.
Yeah.
At the WrestleMania show.
They've mentioned it a lot on commentary, though. Like, oh, Thekla's here because she got fired from Japan for attacking the owner.
I would say I completely disagree. I think that set it up perfectly, because if you are a casual fan and you caught that promo, she explains it all. She explains the whole thing and then walks up a ladder and spits on the Stardom logo. I think if you are casual, you know exactly from that promo that there's an issue right there. You know what I mean? Like, I thought that was done very well. And I'm not like, I'm tired of her calling everybody dumb bitches. It's just, it's played out for me. But, like, that promo got everything it needed across. It worked perfectly for me, and I'm like, I don't know shit about Stardom. I don't watch Stardom. I have no idea. But, like, she got fired from Stardom. Okay, made, you know what I mean? Like, I was following the promo, and then for her to cap it off by climbing a ladder, which I had no idea where she was going with that. Like, when the ladder came out, I went, what the fuck are we doing now?
She's going up.
She's going up to just to spit on the logo. I was sold. I thought it was done fantastic. I'll take that promo over the Briscoe bullshit.
Okay.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay. I like that. But then, like, okay, who is, so this Hazuki chick, right? She's representing Stardom, so.
Yeah.
Is well, that doesn't make sense because that's Forbidden Door. So what are we thinking? Thekla fucks with the Suzuki chick in her match against Money.
No, I don't think she's going to screw with her because there are a few different people from Stardom you can go with. You can go with her.
Sari girl. What's her name?
Sari is from her. There's a few others. But I think Monet is going to move on to the final. I think it's going to be Monet and Athena in the finals. And then, you know, coin toss there. I could see either one of them winning that.
Why Athena?
Why not? It's not going to be Sky Blue.
Right, but like she's been the ROH champion for what, 75 years?
Yeah. And I mean? Now she said it's time for me to start, you know, keeping my eyes on something else here.
Yeah, but you're not bringing in this other chick, this Saria chick from Japan with all this fanfare to have her fucking lose to Athena. Yeah.
Well, she's going to beat Sky Blue, and then I could see her lose to Athena.
Because the Ring of Honor Women's World Championship means nothing. It's like the home run leader in fucking minor league baseball.
Yeah.
The silver medalist in the Special Olympics.
Might get you a couple bucks off at the Burger King, but nobody really fucking gives a shit. Like,
oh, really?
I guess. I mean, what? And they're running out like a survival of the fittest for the TBS title too.
Yeah, they announced the first six women for that. That's more stacked than the Owen Hart tournament.
Yeah, but isn't so? They have to qualify, right?
Yeah, they're gonna have six qualifying matches to get into the survival of fittest, which is what Ring of Honor always did with survival of the fittest.
I guess you're. Are they gonna do it all on AEW TV, or are they gonna sprinkle it into Ring of Honor too?
No, it's gonna be all on AEW TV. I think everybody they announced is AEW right now.
So Statlander, Sheeta, Harley Cameron, I think, right?
Yeah, Harley Cameron, Queen Aminata.
I like Queen Aminata.
Yeah,
I love Queen Aminata.
I'm also happy, while you're looking that up, Rondo, I'm happy that Mercedes Moné was the special, the ex, whatever we're calling her, the guest wrestler, the mystery opponent for Alex Windsor, because we need to get the fucking Brawling Birds back into the tag team division. You need to give me the Divine, whatever the fuck it's called.
Yeah.
Brawling Birds. Stop. Like, fucking Anna Jay and Ty Mello, it's great. They're fucking, but they come back, they win one match, and they get a tag title shot. Like, I know it's TV, we have to do this, but like, I don't give a shit. I know. I want fucking Megan Bain and Lena Cross against fucking Jamie Hayter and Alex Windsor.
Well, TJ finally, they survived. They had that 5-minute, you know, survivor thing for a while and built it up, and they finally won it. Or survived, and then it made sense why they got a title shot after that. Lost, but at least they could make some sense of it.
Are you, I'm not going to lie, I'm intrigued with the Tommaso Ciampa, Chris Jericho stuff.
Yeah, at first when he attacked him, I wasn't. And then his promo since, it's built me in.
No.
No, not for you, HK?
Well, no, and see the problem I'm having with what I've seen from AEW here the last couple of weeks, especially, is didn't Ciampa go right into his 1,004 reasons why he hates Chris Jericho, right? And then when you go over on the other side, you had the guy, was it Clark Connors and what the fuck's his name?
Oh, Finley?
David Finley.
The dogs, and they're pulling off of Edge and Christian's old shit. Like, they're finding references in old, like, WWF stuff over and over and over again, WWE stuff. And it's like, the history's there, but it's not really your history to retell. You know what I mean? Like, that's the part that kind of fucking bothers me. Like, you can be more creative than, oh, yeah, that's right. You did, you know, a list of 1,004 holds, or, oh, yeah, that's right. You guys used to do a 5-second pose and play, because, you know what I mean? Like, that part of it, like Double T, you talk about lazy booking all the time. That's fucking lazy promo work. It's super fucking lazy promo work, and it's disappointing. Like, you, these guys are more creative than this. Let them be more creative than this. And if this is the ideas that they're coming up with, tell them, guys, be more creative than this. It's fucking annoying to me. Super.
I did
annoying.
Like when he said Fozzie sucks as one of the reasons. That tickled me.
Yeah, Fozzie can suck. But like, even with the guns kind of have some connection to DX, right? But when they're doing the fucking suck it over and over again, like, it's not like, that's not yours. You know what I mean? Like, it's
at just, least it's, that's their dad's.
And that's why I said that at least there's some connection there to it.
Yeah.
But like, if you're, if the material, the only material that you can draw off of is bullshit from like more than 20 years ago, that wasn't even this company's history. Like, that's just, it's disappointing. Yeah. You should be better than that.
I mean, that's what they, that's what everybody does though. Really? Right. TNA did it that last year with the fucking Dudleys and Hardys and their big last match.
But it was the Dudleys and the Hardys.
Right, but it was not, it's not a TNA thing. That's, they're not under the TNA band. Like, that's, that was made popular in the WWE.
No, but it is. Today are all remakes and sequels. It's everywhere.
People love the retro retard stuff. I mean, that's what wrestling is. Like, every, like, just because it wasn't on WWE TV or NWA or WCW, like, they did it in Memphis. They did it in Portland. They did it in Mexico. They did it in Puerto Rico. Like, it's just all recycled shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like it.
It's okay. You're not. It's okay that you don't like it. I don't like that it's the fucking War Dogs. Like, this is, we went from like FTR and the Young Bucks and Edge and Christian battling over the tag titles to the fucking War Dogs being the ones that are going to interrupt the 5 second pose. Like, now they're the,
they're fucking doing the 5 second, just golly.
Well, they didn't, Christian didn't want to do it. Edge wanted to do it.
Just jerk me off with a fucking hammer.
How does that work? Oh, with the claw?
The claw hammer, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Hit him with a ball peen.
A ball peen?
I think Prince of Pro is with you, HK. Why build a creative and interesting storyline when you can just reference something from 3 decades ago? Right.
Thanks, MB. You're my guy, MB. You're my guy.
It's also,
again, it's also everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah, but I also wonder, like, too, like, is this, like, is it Chris Jericho's idea? Is it Adam Copeland's idea? Like, I don't think AEW has that person to be like, no, we're not going to do this, right? Like, it feels like, I know reports are like, at the end of the day, it's Tony Khan's call, and I know, like, he's an uber fucking super duper wrestling fan. But yeah, maybe you do need someone. And we've had this conversation about AEW for years with the Matt Hardy fucking concussion and letting him continue, and Alex Reynolds fucking getting fucking knocked out in the middle of the match. Like, there needs to be somebody to police this and be like, stop.
Cook barfing everywhere. Yeah, they need a governor. They do. They need a governor.
But I still, you know, I look, I mean, I look, I enjoy watching AEW more. Then I'm more inclined to watch Dynamite and Collision than I am to sit down and watch Raw and SmackDown. I'll watch clips, you know, I'll watch clips of Raw and SmackDown. And it just so happened to be on this afternoon and I was tooling around, so it was on in the background, but I won't go out of my way to watch like Friday Night SmackDown. I never fucking catch live and I just catch the clips online.
I never catch SmackDown. I mean, it's super, super rare that I ever catch SmackDown. Raw, I don't miss. I never miss Raw. Dynamite here and there, you know what I mean? Like, I am not an every episode of Dynamite guy. I try to be. Collision, rarely catch Collision.
If I'm home, I'll watch Collision.
Tell you what I don't miss anymore, though. Never miss, because I'm loyal. JCW. I ain't missing it. Not a fucking episode. I'm there. I'm watching it. I'm in it. I'm hating every minute of it.
I got a lot of questions for you, HK.
I am hating every fucking minute of it. You remember, like, I don't know, a year ago, maybe a little bit more, when I was fucking hate watching AEW and you said, guys, just give it up.
Just
take a week off and I wouldn't do it. I don't want to say that JCW is as bad as that time period of AEW. Because I want to say that's fucking worse.
Yeah, and it's Vince Russo. It's worse.
It is. You talk about hate watching something like it's like hate fucking an ex. Like it is the worst. It's the fucking worst. Not even like an like. It's like banging an ugly chick when you're done watching JCW. It is. And you're like, golly, I can't believe I just did that. And then you got to fucking go home. Like, it's fucking horrible, man. It's unbelievable how bad it's gotten. But I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up on the product. I'm with it. I'm really every episode, man. Every episode. And it's fucking getting bad. It's plummeting. So
what was
bad.
So my first question, what was the runtime?
Around 2 hours. Cool. But like you gotta fast forward a lot of that bullshit, and because I can't stand those fucking, who was it, Shaggy, whatever his fucking duty Rudy's your pooty tootie, like I don't remember what the fuck he says. Like, get him out of here. I don't fucking want to see these commercials. Watch a fucking 3-minute commercial on why you should buy their merchandise from the JCW catalog. Yeah. let me rush to the JCW catalog so I can order something. Get the fuck out of here. Bad. Just bad.
What's worse, the Pimp and Gimp connection?
Okay, go on.
Or Giselle Shaw beating Briar Wellington.
So I'm going to say worse was probably Giselle Shaw beating Briar Wellington, broke ass Briar. The pimpin' fucking Gimp connection tickled me a little bit when they came out.
I don't think Human Tornado can be worse than anything. That guy fucking rules.
That was like, that might have been like the little saving moment on the show, seeing those two fucking come out. Goddamn, Bronson, Father Bronson defeats Facade.
Right, is he the new North American champion?
Yeah.
Why is this Mac Davis the referee?
Because Mac Davis has been getting into Facade shit for the last couple few weeks. The problem is that after the match, old Joe said, nope, just give him the belt back. So Father Bronson won the fucking title, and Joe's like, nope, give him the belt back. Give him the in a backstage fucking segment.
They did that with the tag titles before recently too. Yeah, I think
they sure as shit did. And the fucking Luciano family, they beat Too Tough Tony and Willie Mack, but it was DQ, so they didn't get the belts. Choppa City, right? Choppa City, I like, man. Choppa City's fun. I'm in on them.
I don't know. You know, this was before your time, but Backseat Boys, former guests in studio of the Shining Wizard Wrestling Podcast.
Okay. They don't
love the Backseat Boys. Yeah, they're very talented. They used to be on the local shows by me all the time as the Amazing Graysons. They were always like big part of it for me.
And this is how I know them is through JCW. It is my first exposure to them. And they seem just fine. They seem like they go, but they fucked another storyline there when they just came out and said, no, it wasn't Vince Russo who attacked Too Tough Tony and Willie Mack. It was us. And we acted on our own, not through Vince Russo. I'm like, why are you like the mystery story? You just fucking kill it. You just fucking kill it. You know who still can't find their brother, right? You know who still can't find their brother.
Ruffo?
Right? I can't find my brother. Where's my brother? Where's my brother? Fuck you. And you know what the worst part is? They went to, they saw fuck it. You know, I said that a couple times. You know what the worst part is? The whole fucking show. They show video fucking footage of the other brother, Chacone, right? Because who is it? Twitches and what do they call the other guy? Pickles. Whatever it is. And he's loading up a truck cussing, and they show him on security feed. And Joe's like, what the fuck is this? Like, what? No, you're ruining this shit for me, man. You're just ruining it. Everything's ruined. Vince Russo's fucking miserable. I fucking hate every second. I'm watching it, though. I am not quitting on this show, man.
But, how did Alice Crowley end up with cocaine?
Alice Crowley and cocaine. How did Alice...
Right, cocaine wrestled Stephen Flo?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I might have blacked out during that because I...
It was the ring rat's ass that blacked you out, huh?
No, you know, because I'm out on the ring rat, too.
Not a bad thing. I like the ring rat.
How the fuck did that? I don't remember. I
saw a clip that it said, like, some cocaine chick in the front was pissed that
yeah,
was I hugging Alice Crowley
Yeah, the cocaine chick has been there the last couple weeks.
Yeah. They had a name for her. I forgot. Coquette or something like that.
Yeah, man. Nah, it's bad. It's a bad show. It's a really bad show. I'm fucking watching it though, man. Like, I am not going to stop watching it. I'll give you the JCW report every week. I fucking hate it so much. So much. It's so bad. You know what I don't hate though?
What's that?
MLW.
Man. Back on YouTube, right?
Back on YouTube, man. MLW, man. They did a great, like, kind of a season premiere type show.
Prince of Pro wants to update us. Hocaine.
Hocaine.
Yes.
Hocaine was very okay. Sick. Thank you, Matt.
Okay. Thank you, MB. I appreciate you, buddy. MLW, right? They did a longer premiere, like a season premiere type show a couple weeks back. The last episode on YouTube was fantastic. Shotzi won the ladies title. Cross came out and gave a very passionate promo about it being, you know, about wrestling, about professional wrestling and all the sacrifices, all that type of stuff. Good Brothers in the main event against the Skyscrapers for the tag straps in a tables match. It was a very entertaining match. It's a good show. Like, it's the setting's nice. It one of the things that you don't hear, like, every turn of every promo is somebody saying, you know, fuck you, piece of shit, where's my brother? Like, it's, you don't hear all that bad shit, right? Like, it's like a decent show. It's a good show. So I'm back on MLW, man, and I'm happy to be back on MLW because it's been over 5 years outside of just watching Battle Riot every year that I could say I'm back in on MLW, man. I'm back in. So that's fantastic. I got MLW. I'm gonna enjoy watching. I got JCW. I'm gonna fucking hate watch. I'm gonna watch Raw because it's habitual now. And, you know, Dynamite, whatever.
What's the runtime on that?
1 hour.
Okay.
1 hour. Easy watch too. It's a super, super easy watch. At no point do you feel like it's dragging on or anything like that. The promos are pretty. How do I put it? The promos up to this point, from what I've watched, right? I've only watched the premiere in this last week's episode. They don't drag, and the stories aren't like over and over and over again. Like, Alan Angels is supposed to face Kushida for one of their titles in the show itself, but Contra attacked Alan Angels, so they didn't make it to the ring on that. It was like Shotzi's doing fantastic. It's the only problem I think I'm going to have is this next upcoming week is Riddle versus Cross. And I fucking hate Matt Riddle. So yeah, fuck him. Fuck Matt Riddle.
I'm with you on that one these days.
Yeah.
True Prince of Pro. Those MLW tapings are 4 months old and they're just putting them out now.
Oh no, MB, say it ain't so, buddy.
Yeah, what's their names? Skyscrapers. Well, at the very least, Corbin's already gone from there.
Yeah, I knew Corbin was gone. Well, son of a bitch, man.
Yeah, but they're doing they're taping in New York this weekend.
All right.
Thursday night, they're doing a taping. So maybe I think they were waiting. I don't know what the fuck the. It's good though. I like it. I will make it a point to check out MLW.
It's worth it. Yeah, it's worth it.
We went on a little fucking roller coaster with them a couple years ago where we were in and out, and then they kind of stopped running the weekly TV and they were doing just the specials, and they, like, I don't know, they always did they get the
what do they get? Brenda Fly, are you still here?
I'm still here. I thought that was my
he's back.
I'm sorry, my bad, my B homies.
No worries. No, I am excited for MLW to have that, you know, to have that show and have it easily, you know, an hour long, easy digestible watch. It reminds me kind of like a sitting down watching the Superstars on a, you know, on an afternoon when I was younger. So except for, you know, more belts and stuff, but it's good. It's good. I'm in.
You know what I'm excited for?
Homework.
Oh, go ahead, Matt.
I was because. HK, you brought this up, and it kind of you brought it up in a text last week or over the weekend, and now with the recent releases of TNA with Steve Macklin now gone too, and Santana essentially his contract coming up, and Leon Slater coming up, and now news coming out today where Macklin was like, yeah, they kind of didn't know what the fuck they were doing, and I'm paraphrasing. because they thought things would get better since they went on AMC, and they're not, and it's like,
yeah.
they're losing guys left and right here. Like, if you look at the list of guys that have left since the beginning of the year, like, it's kind of staggering that a lot of people are leaving TNA, or they're letting people, releasing people. Like, Carlos Silva doesn't seem like he knows what the fuck he's doing.
No, it doesn't seem like, what's his name, Delirious or Tommy Dreamer. Somebody said, like, they don't really have proven track records of being great bookers or running companies or whatnot. Like, I know Delirious was running Ring of Honor for a long time, but a lot of those shows, up until, you know, like, maybe the pandemic Ring of Honor, a lot of those shows weren't good, and if they were, it was, like, because of the Bullet Club. Like, after they left, there was a time where Ring of Honor was just, like, almost unwatchable. So it's getting to the point where it feels like at TNA now, it's going to be, like, the top of the card is going to be like Moose and Eric Young and
Kazarian.
But guys like that have been there forever. It's like, okay, Eddie Edwards. Like, I know, like, they still got Ali that they could still do something with. Bear Bronson's fucking awesome and is there. They could do something with, but yeah, they're losing more than they have, or they got to backfill there.
Yeah, I think it was a major missed opportunity when they didn't put the title on Santana at fucking Slammiversary last July in Long Island in fucking his backyard. Like, yeah. And then we were all excited for the AMC thing, and it's been a fucking complete disaster on AMC. I haven't watched it at all, but you don't.
It's nobody's watching it too, because they're finishing in like the bottom three or five of ratings for AMC every week. And so now it's not like, you know, they got to eventually they're going to have to find another shitty network to get onto.
And they're under the WWE umbrella. So anyone who is thriving in TNA essentially just lets their contract expire. And then Joe Hendry, go to the WWE. Santana. And you can't fault these guys. Like,
yeah,
it makes sense. Leon Slater, boom, like, gone. Like,
it's Jordan Grace.
Yeah.
Yeah, even Josh Alexander, too, was a huge part of them. He didn't go to WWE, but he's off to AEW.
I don't even something. Know. They got, what, Slammiversary is like a couple weeks away?
Yeah, it's Eddie Edwards and Mustafa Ali. Eddie Edwards and Mike Santana. They're having an Ultimate X and Leon Slater.
It's Mike Santana or Eric Young against Nick Nemeth. It's Nick Nemeth's Calder Shot Championship. Yep.
Oh, okay.
Cedric Alexander against Leon Slater against to be announced, the Ultimate X. Mm-hmm. It just says ladder match TBA versus TBA. This is the Wikipedia entry, okay? Mustafa Ali against TBA. Lee Ying Lee against Zaya Brookside for the TNA Knockouts World Championship. The System against TBA, the Elegance Brand versus TBA.
Oh, geez, TBA is busy that night.
Yeah.
fucking Mr. Elegance. God, yeah,
he's 3 weeks away.
Be left with him.
3 weeks away from Slammiversary, and it doesn't look like. I don't know, and I thought like I just don't know. I don't know.
I think it's gotten to the point where. Like, how long TNA's been around? 24 years. It's gotten to the point where they can't fool me back in again. Like, I was all ready to get back in last year when we watched it, and it was one of the worst pay-per-views we've ever seen. And then, you know, I was like, all right, I'll give it another chance. They're going on AMC. Let me watch this. And it was fucking just complete dog shit. So, and they've moved me so many times over the years where, like, I think TNA is going to be able to turn the corner and I'll get excited, and they just don't. So, I think it's to the point where I don't think they'll be able to do it again.
I mean, if they continue to be under the WWE umbrella, though, then it's just a place for, you know, TNA lets these guys walk, and then they pay these other guys the minimum, and then they just use NXT talent because it doesn't cost them anything, and they let fucking who's ever running the show in WWE make the calls, and fucking Carlos Silva looks like, you know, he's making fucking buku bucks over there or whatever. And no one's none the wiser because no one fucking watches the thing. And the people that do watch it are like diehards. And look, I don't watch it. I don't have AMC. I'm not paying for fucking AMC. HK finally canceled his fucking Impact Plus, thank God. So AJ Francis does nothing for me. Like, I see it every Thursday night on Twitter. Like, he's not the guy. Casey Navarro's a talented young kid. Like, but, you know, he has his path is the same as Leon Slater and Mike Santana and Joe Hendry. Like, you hit the ceiling in TNA and then your contract's up and WWE's like, come to NXT, come over here. Like, we're doing stuff. And you're like,
their contracts are like 6 months also. So it's like you can get somebody hot real quick and then they're out the door right away.
Look, I'm all for Santana going, you know, to the fucking bigger stage and anybody else, you know, but
yeah,
I don't know. And yeah, you're right, Brando. They fucking, you know, it's cyclical. They're going to, TNA is going to close. We have new owners. We have new bookers. We have a new TV deal. We're going to restart.
Yeah, fuck that. Yeah,
all right. And then it's like we're back at the, you know, Billy Corgan owes Dixie Carter money. And now the Anthem owns the place. The Owl.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah. Ooh. Fuck that Owl. Matt Hardy's wife hates TNA.
I would just wanted to touch on that.
Yeah. You know what we should touch on?
Homework.
Well, I was going to say before that, you guys want to do a little blind rankings.
You got a blind ranking, Brendan
Flynn. I have a blind ranking. I think a pretty good one, too.
All right. Hit us. What do you got there, Brendan Flynn?
So I have a blind ranking of five objects brought to the ring by like a signature wrestler or manager. So I'll give you the wrestler and what they brought to the ring for you to go 1 to 5 with. Inanimate objects, not
the object or the.
Yeah, something that somebody would bring to the ring with them.
But okay. Are we ranking the object?
And it wouldn't be alive.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'll give you both.
But we're ranking it based on the object, not the character.
Yeah, on the object that they bring. So, all right, so we'll start heavy with Jim Cornette's tennis racket.
Now, my question is, am I ranking the tennis racket, Jim Cornette's tennis racket, or Jim Cornette with his tennis racket?
Let's say Jim Cornette with his tennis racket.
So it's the combo pack.
Yeah, it's the combo pack.
Gotcha.
So what are you guys thinking?
I think this is easy for me. I don't know what you have up your sleeve. You could easily pull another object out of your ass.
I'm good at that.
Yeah, and you know, I think I'd be okay with putting it as number two, but I'm going to go with tennis racket number one for me.
Wow.
I don't think there's anything better than Jim Cornette and his tennis racket. And if there is, and it goes in the number two position, I'm not mad about it.
Yeah.
See, I in my head right away said number two. Number two. But that's a tough one, too, because, man, Cornette and the tennis racket, it's a beautiful. That's a beautiful combo. Ah, boy, I'm trying to think. You know what? Yeah, I'm going to go two. Two.
Okay.
Yeah, two. Two for Cornette's racket.
All right. Number two, the Sandman's Singapore cane.
I'm going to go three for the Sandman's cane. Sandman cane, Brundlefly really coming with the heavy hitters here. Key component to the Sandman's gimmick. And, you know, when he was hacking WCW, he needed the cane. Can't bring the beer to WCW, but the cane is very significant with the Sandman. So I'll put it at three because I feel like you're going to hit us with a couple zingers here.
I'm five. Really? With Sandman's cane. Yeah. So that's not even like nothing against Sandman or the cane, but like it's not really a signature thing. Like how many times do you see these canes get pulled out from under the ring or whatever? You know what I mean? Like it's just a cane. He brings a cane to the ring. That's fine. It's five for me.
That's fair. So number three, Pallbearer and the Urn.
Ah, I'm going number five.
Wow.
Five on the Urn. It was cool when it was like thought of as like, this is what the Undertaker draws his power from. And then we got like, you know, fucking Kama melted it down into a fucking chain. And, you know, the fucking stupid light came out of it at the Royal Rumble or whatever. Like, ah, I'm over it. I'm over it by fucking 96. I'm out. I'm out on the Urn. Five. He's shit, Pallbearer.
I'm in on the Urn. Don't need a shit, Pallbearer. It's going to go with three for me.
All right.
It was, I mean, that's Undertaker's arguably the most like iconic character that WWE has ever created. And to have Pallbearer with the Urn and he's drawing the power from the Urn, it added so much, especially early on to that character. Yeah. Three for me for Pallbearer and the Urn.
All right. So with two left, next one, go with the good old 2x4 Hacksaw. Oh, Jim Duggan.
2x4 is going at four for me.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. You couldn't beat him in the ring with your own wrestling, so you had to use a foreign object and beat up the guys because you're a sore loser. Eat shit, Hacksaw. Even though it was the first foam WWF piece of merchandise I ever brought. And I was like 12.
So wasn't the fucking like the story behind that was when he was, God, where is it? Where was he wrestling at the time? It was pre WWF.
UWF.
And they're like, he needed a weapon going to the ring because of how much heat he was drawing. And that happened to be there. Like that's fucking not, fantastic.
That sounds right. Yeah.
It's fucking fantastic. And you can't go against it. Like Hacksaw to this day could walk out and yell USA and put the 2x4 up and everybody loves it. And another fucking bonus. When we got a ball stuck in gym class in the sixth grade in the hoop, Mr. Anderson, our gym teacher, walked to the other room, came back out with the 2x4, swinging it like Hacksaw Jim Duggan, yelling USA with the thumb up. Yes, give me Hacksaw Jim. You know what? Fuck it. That's number one for me.
Wow.
Number one.
All right. So we got Double T with number two, HK with number four, and the final entrant, Jimmy Hart's megaphone.
Ah, yeah, that's a great one.
I'm good with it at number two.
That was the first one I thought you were going to mix in too, was the megaphone.
I thought about it, throwing it out there early, but
no qualms for me. Megaphone, Jimmy Hart, synonymous with him. He yelled through it the whole match, and it was used as a weapon, various title changes and wins and nefarious ways. I'm okay with that. The megaphone was, you know, and then he brought it over with the Hulkster, you know, him and Beefer had the fucking megaphone. I would
have ranked it higher on my list. I would absolutely ranked it higher on my list. Super versatile as a piece of equipment for a manager to have. Fantastic. Double T said weapon, obviously using it to yell throughout the match. Definitely annoying fans with it, of course. Like it's a really good piece. I wish I had it higher than four, but four is the only spot I got left available. There she is.
So we got our rankings. HK had the 2x4 at one, Cornette's racket at two, Pallbearer's Urn at three, the megaphone at four, and Sandman at five with the Singapore cane. Double T, Cornette's racket at one, megaphone at two, Singapore cane at three, Hacksaw 2x4 at four, and the Urn at five.
So. Good blind ranking, Brando. A lot of fun. A lot of fun there.
You know what else was fun? Fucking homework, man.
Yeah, you left off Fuji's cane on the on the blind rankings.
Oh, there's plenty of other things.
Boogeyman's clock, maybe? Right?
Yeah.
IRS's briefcase.
You know, when I thought of canes, I thought of Freddie Blassie's cane at first. Right. Yeah.
It's fair.
Fuji, I thought salt.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, yeah. I am almost finished with my Barry Darso book. So last week when it was my turn to do homework, I decided Let's go back to WrestleMania 4, the early days of the demos. Newly paired up with Fuji, fresh off of their Ken Patera fucking Billy Jack Haynes feud. Number one contenders for the WWF Tag Team Championships, held by the Strike Force, who, it beat the Hearts for them, and it kind of a surprise thing. But I think the babyface side of the WWF at that time was kind of beat down. And I just thought it would be a fun match to watch. This was the match before the old DiBiase Savage match at 4. So it was an easy watch. It was like, I don't know, fucking 10, 12 minutes, not even. And I enjoyed every second of it. I love early Demolition where they kind of like don't know what they're doing with their face paint.
So they don't know what they're doing, but it's definitely different. They're still fighting. They're finding the spot.
Yeah, Smash kind of has an idea, but like Axe just like, let's just put like big black fucking things over my eyes and we'll do it this way.
Yeah, I mean, Billy the Axe doesn't seem like a guy who would ironically who would know about like face paint or whatnot. He wore a mask for years, I believe. Mask superstar.
Eventually they worked out their mask, and I love the glitter in the hair. The glitter in the hair is fantastic.
He said he gets Billy Eady says that's like either the number one or two question he gets is whenever like his last appearance is, why was your hair so glittery?
Yeah. It's too much on the glitter. I don't care for the glitter, but the match itself, like I liked everything up until the finish. Like the finish was just a little bit too active for me. One thing that fucking drives me nuts about Tito Santana back then is like, especially in Strikeforce, like Martel, he gets to have the Canadian flag on his trunks, right? He gets the Canadian flag. What do they do for Tito? They fucking throw a sombrero on his ass. Like, why can't he have the fucking Mexican flag on his ass? They throw a fucking sombrero. Martel gets to have a guy like that's too much.
Maybe that's what Tito wanted.
No, Tito didn't want that.
He didn't want us to proudly represent his heritage.
Yeah. With maybe a Mexican flag, not a goddamn sombrero.
No, they probably wore sombreros in the Mexican Football League, like Jesse said.
The MFL? No, they didn't.
Yeah. That tickled me when he said that.
That was funny. The match, like I enjoyed the match. Like, there's no way I was not going to enjoy the match. I just don't like fuck it. God, who is it? Tito's fucking with Fuji. And he keeps on fucking with him, and then all of a sudden the guy was at Axe. No, Smasher goes and gets the cane, has to run back.
It was Axe.
Yeah. And then he smashed. Like, it's just, I don't know, it was too active of a finish. Just way too active.
I actually like the finish because I think that it made sense, especially in the future. Like, you know, Tito attacks Fuji, the cane falls perfectly in position where Axe can hit him. The ref's trying to get the Tito away, and he pushes back the ref, and the ref conveniently falls right where Martel's about to get pinned. And then, you know, later on you get the breakup of Strike Force, and that could be like one of the things, like Tito's still trying to kick Fuji's ass instead of saving Martel.
Yeah, I see where you're going. I said, when it gets to be that many moving parts, it's never really my like something that tickles me too much. I will say Tito's fucking flying jalapeno forearm, man. God damn, is that beautiful.
Yeah.
It is, really, you know what I mean? Like, it is so fucking good. Like, obviously you get AJ Styles with a phenomenal forearm, which is amazing. But way before AJ had a phenomenal forearm, Tito's fucking flying jalapeno. It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. When he delivers it in this match and he hits it and then lands on top of Axe, I'm like, fuck yeah, I'm in. Yeah. There's never been a time when he's delivered it or gone, it wasn't too good. It's always fucking amazing. So yeah, this match it's a good match, man. I love the selection.
So this is, you know, it's 87, right? 88.
88.
Right. So I'm like, fucking, I'm a baby, right? So like the Rick the model Martel is the Rick Martel I know, right? babyface Strikeforce Rick Martel. Like when he gets the hot tag and he's all like, that's fucking awesome. I was like, man, I want to watch some fucking AWA Rick Martel now. I don't want to go fucking Martel Gurria. I don't like Tony Gurria. He can eat his shit. All right, but I want to see babyface AWA Rick Martel. I love commentary. I am so tickled now that like I know like Jesse would intentionally needle Gorilla about Joey Morello when he was the referee because it's Gorilla's son. Like I thought that was fun. They did a great job of just like putting over both teams, and you know, I don't know if we'll be able to get the Boston Crab on Axe or Smash. They're bigger, they're stronger than the Hearts. Like I thought they painted a really nice picture, and I did not mind the finish. The funny part with the finish, the Kane was supposed to be gimmicked, and Fuji didn't gimmick it and didn't tell anybody. So that's why Axe fucking smashed Martel with it. And according to Barry Darso's book, he legit knocked Martel loopy. And as Tito is beating on Fuji, Barry Darso says all he could hear is Fuji laughing.
That's pretty good. I like that.
Yeah. I fucking love this one too. Like, I love going back and watching Demolition matches, especially in the beginning there when they're bad guys. Just like everything they do looks fucking great and painful and like has like a reason. Like, there's, you know, pardon the pun, their smashes just fucking look great. Like, they really look like they're kicking somebody's ass. Plus the fact also, it may be a hot take, but their theme song is the best I've ever heard in WWE.
That's pretty good.
In my opinion.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. I mean, when somebody introduces something they're going to say as a hot take before they say it, I don't know. That's, I'm not yet.
But yeah, demos, they first tag title reign, and they beat the Strike Force by nefarious reasoning using the cane and bad refereeing by Joey Morella and terrible tag teammanship by Tito Santana, way too focused on Fuji the Stooge. And there we go. They're off and running, and this was a nice little palate cleanser in between the fucking tournament and the finals, right? You know, a little tag team action. So I enjoyed it. It was a quick, easy watch. It was like 10 minutes. So I think I hit all the marks and what I wanted to achieve there. So I'm going thumbs up.
Thumbs up for me.
Around the room, everybody thumbs up. And I think Tony, if he was here, he would have given it the thumbs up too.
Oh, I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah, this is right in his wheelhouse.
And now the ball is in Brundle's court, I believe. Yes.
Yeah.
Brundle
fly.
Brundle, what'd you do?
Oh, sorry. I think my connection got out. You hear me?
No.
Yes. You hear me?
You hear me, Steve?
Steve, can you hear us?
Shit. You're fucking with me, aren't you, now?
We can hear you now.
All right, good. So I am going back to our first entry from PWG, but it's not, I don't think it's one that you guys would think of. I'm going to Battle of Los Angeles 2006, September 2nd, night 2. We are going to be watching Super Dragon versus the Necro Butcher in what is just an ass-kicking match. So I have the link on YouTube. I'll send it later.
This is the second time you've assigned Necro Butcher.
And I'm gonna tell you, the first time was great.
Oh, get ready, because we're definitely watching some type of brawn panties or some pillow fight, motherfucker. That's coming next. All right. Sick of you fucking making me watch these bloodbaths. I want something happy.
I don't think this is a bloodbath.
I don't, PWG wasn't really known for bloodbaths, so
yeah, okay. It wasn't. Yeah, it's especially just, not Best of Super or Best Battle of Los Angeles.
Well, I stand by my statement.
I really hope this is the match where the fan just keeps chanting Super Dragon until Super Dragon gets fucking pissed off at him.
It's not, but I really wish it was. Maybe that'll be the next one.
And you will send a link over to us?
Yeah, I have the link on YouTube. I'll send it right over after the show.
Oh, fantastic. Well, I think we had a fun night tonight. We have, what do we got? Anakin Murphy next week.
Yep. Fresh off of Tournament of Survival and Cage of Survival.
And then in 3 weeks, right? 3 weeks time, we will have episode 800, Ask the Wizards, AWA. So you can DM us, you can email us, you can join the show live and ask us in the chat. It's going to be a celebration, 800 episodes. So we're just going to have a good old time and hang out with you guys and answer all your fucking goofy questions. I got to get the fucking thing. The video, the end of the show, the producers. And I don't even know if this is the updated one, so I apologize. But let's do this. Cue the music.
This has been a production of the Shining Wizards Network. For everything Shining Wizards, visit ShiningWizards.com. And don't forget to listen to all the great shows of the Shining Wizards Network.
We would like to thank those that support us on our Patreon. I don't know if this is an updated list. Executive producer Vinny Cresso, Kate Hensler, High Five Tom, Ryan Schlong, Al Day, Jesse Elwell, Emily Brock, I Doug Biscuits, Kathy Umber, Keith Parker, and David Henry Bauer III. Thank you to all those who support us at the $1, $3, $5, $10, and the free level. We always appreciate your support.
Night, Diana. Love you, Tony.
Was your microphone muted?
It was.
It was, right? We missed it.
Yeah. Oh, no.
No, we got most of it. Yeah. We got a good amount of it.
Good night, Diana. Love you, Tony.
We love you guys. Yeah. We'll see you next week.
Happy Pride Month.
Don't know what I got.
Yeah. Here, this is in honor of Happy Pride Month. All right. All right. There we go.
That might be a little sticky on Menards.
I get it.
What the fuck am I watching? Like, I just don't get it. I don't get it. Tony?
Are you turned on yet, sweetie?
Yeah. Tony? Who are you looking to come? Tony.
So, you ever shit your pants?
Tony? These whores.
Tony.
I do enjoy the Mountie.
Oh, yeah, Tony.
I thought it was rape night. Now it's rape juice.
Whatever you need, Tony.
Tony, we miss you.
We do.
Dump status, Tony.
Ooh, that's so loud.
Tony. Fuck you and your fucking sports clip haircut.
It's a nice little haircut today.
I don't even care if it's during Wrestle Kingdom. I just want to go get some fucking vending machine panties.
Yeah. Tony. Maybe that's where he is tonight.
I hope so.
Yeah. Last time I had one in the stink, my finger stunk for 4 days.
Yeah, it did.
I see a doctor.
Maybe somebody's peeing on him.
What if he creamed in your face? Would you like it? I don't think you would.
Well, you don't think so, but
I don't think he likes that drop, Brando. I don't want to upset him.
She can bring my balls together under her chin.
Jesus, Tony. Okay.
Right.
Tell me somebody passed away.
Ew. Jesus, buddy. We'll see you guys next week.